It's time for Twig This Week in Google. Jeff's here, Ant's here, and yes, Stacy's back. We have lots to talk about with all of them, including, of course, Elon Musk's Twitter takeover. Welcome to hell, Elon. We'll talk about the FCC commissioner that says the federal government should ban TikTok. Italy bans raves. Google Hangouts is dead. And why is Roblox doing a class in 3D fashion design at Parsons? Maybe it is a good idea. It's all coming up next on Twig.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 688, recorded Wednesday, November 2nd, 2022. Hundo Milo. This episode of This Week in Google is brought to you by Tanium. Tanium unites operations and security teams with a single platform that identifies where all your IT data is, patches every device you own in seconds, and implements critical security controls, all from a single pane of glass. Are you ready to protect your organization from cyber threats? Learn more at tanium.com/twit. And by OnLogic. OnLogic is helping innovators around the world solve their most complex technology challenges. Using OnLogic industrial computers, engineered for reliability, even in environments that would challenge or destroy traditional computer hardware. Learn more and find out about OnLogic's 30-day risk-free hardware trial by visiting onlogic.com/twit. And by Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill. Are you wasting money on subscriptions? Cancel your unnecessary subscriptions right now at rocketmoney.com/twig. Seriously, it could save you hundreds per year. It has for me. It's time for Twig This Week in Google, and the whole team is here, so I'm so excited to enjoy this brief moment in history. Because it ain't going to last. It's evanescent as a dewdrop. Stacey Higginbotham from Stacey on IoT.com.
Who's that?
Stacey.
I think I remember her.
She used to work for this show. Stacey's hitting the road next week, so enjoy it, kids. But she told us ahead of time, so it's not going to be this time. It's not going to be my fault.
I told y'all last time.
I know.
I told Jason.
Good to see you, Stace.
You told Jason.
It's good to be here. I missed y'all.
We miss you
and
terribly.
And I've been seeing all this news.
The audience missed you big time.
Yeah.
I can't talk about it. Oh.
Yeah, see, that's my pitch for why you want to be here is because then there's a chance to discuss what's going on. And it's we need it.
To share my
stories I wanted to hear
widely.
You
next week will be the day after the election. You sure you don't want to be here?
I am 100% sure. Okay. I want to be here the day after the election.
Okay.
And Ant, I may want to be in a bunker. I don't know.
Ant Pruitt. Ant is the host of Hands Off Photography. You don't have to be here next week if you, too, decide.
Hey, cool.
It's just too much, man. It's just too much.
Oh, man. This stuff in California has been quite interesting, sir.
I still haven't parsed the ballot. It's complicated. Mm. I will do so before Tuesday. I'll do so soon. Anyway, great to have you, host of Hands On Photography, and the master of ceremonies in Club Twit. In fact, we couldn't do Stacy's book club last week because you were under the weather.
Yeah, I got sick.
I'm sorry.
Oh, felt like crap. Oh, it was bad.
Here's the. You didn't have COVID. Did you get the flu?
Got the booster, and then
The booster right made you sick.
Yeah, the booster made me sick, and then the weekend came, and then I got a cold. My voice still sounds weird now.
You know, maybe you need to exercise some, Ant, and be healthy.
If you only had bigger biceps,
Or be like Leo and me. Just sit around.
I need to figure out what's going on with these things. Something just ain't quite right.
Oh, jeez. Show off.
Oh, jeez.
He's showing us his massive guns. That's Jeff Jarvis, by the way, over in the... Yeah. Look at those. Are those biceps? What are those? Jeff is the Leonard Tow Professor for Journalistic Innovation at the Craig Newmark Graduate School of Journalism at the City University of New York. Now we got all of us, all four of us.
Yep,
very exciting. I am here to report. First of all, I brought this mug, which is an old mug I've had for a long time. It says Leo Laporte, Chief Twit. I brought it as
capital P.
Well, okay, that's not the only thing wrong with it, because on the other side it also says "World's Best Boss." So
which side is in question?
Yeah, that's
who'd you fire over that?
But no, I didn't know. Yeah, right. I said you have 1 week to fix this. So I just want to point out this is an old mug, and it's on the mug. I can't take it off. The good news is Elon did take off Chief Twit off his account yesterday, so we can.
But supposedly in the office directory, he's listed as Chief Twit.
Well, I don't care what he calls himself in the office. That's all right. Fine.
God. He calls himself, right? God.
Yeah, just not in public. It's funny. Paris Martineau suggested that the hashtag not my Chief Twit. Elon is now a Twitter complaint hotline operator. But I figure he plans to change these on a regular basis.
Yeah. Seems like it's a theme.
We haven't talked to you, Stacey, about all of this. In fact, we haven't seen you since Elon walked into the office carrying his sink.
This that was only last Thursday, right?
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Right.
Things happen.
But so
fast.
Much has happened.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Look at this. Oh, this is archived, President Trump. Okay. I thought maybe Elon says they're going to consider who to bring back. He has not, I thought for a minute,
yes.
He brought him back.
No, he said a few weeks, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, he said they're going to take their time and figure out a process for that.
But they are recommending, well, because I followed Elon, I'm recommended POTUS-45, which is interesting.
He the also algorithm said, doesn't lie.
Yeah. He also said, he did, actually, it was interesting, in public negotiation with Stephen King, the horror novel author, who said, I'm not paying $20 for a blue check. So Elon said, all right, how about $8? It turned out that was the price. So thank you, Stephen, for bringing the price down.
That's still too expensive.
Can I ask your, opinion on something?
Yeah.
Because there seems to be real confusion, and I think it's legit, about what is the product that Twitter offers. Is it people who tweet things like the journalists and whatnot? Are we the creators of content and the advertisers are the consumers? Are we the consumers and thus we should be paying? Because I think it's a really interesting debate. Should he pay us or should we pay him?
Well, it feels like he should pay us because there is no Twitter if people don't tweet.
Exactly.
But on the other hand, they've never been able to make money with advertising. And now it's going to be worse. We're hearing not only did General Motors pause its advertising on Twitter to wait and see what happens, but a major ad agency has just advised its clients, some of the biggest in the world, to hold off for a little bit. That's reasonable.
Didn't he hint at something for content creators to be able to monetize and be able to use the platform more? Last week at some point. I mean, I'm sure he spouted off a whole lot of other things,
hints.
But why not? You know,
he's talked about bringing back Vine. One of the reasons Vine went away is because content creators wanted to be paid for their work at Twitter.
Right.
Back in the day, he said no, and they all left and ended up on TikTok.
Did they kind of end up on YouTube and then TikTok?
Yeah, yeah. Intervening stuff.
Yeah, you're right. Well, he's talking about paid video services.
Right. Which is weird. In fact, one of the things you get if you pay $8 for the Twitter Blue subscription is the ability to upload longer form videos. So I think the $8 is he's trying to give you value for dollar. He says, if you don't pay $8, I'm verified. I have a check mark. If you don't pay $8, within 3 months, your check mark will disappear. I was paying $2.99. I thought that was worthwhile to support Twitter Blue. A lot of people told me I was nuts, but I'm not going to pay $8. That seems like a little bit too.
Well, verification sounds like just a badge instead of an actual verification in this scenario to me.
Oh, you're right. You just have to pay $8 and you got a check.
Right.
I don't even know how I got my check.
You know, anybody can do that, but a verification process should prove that you are who the heck you say you are and not just some robot
that's a real
spammer or sleazy marketer or propagandist.
Well, you could argue you could argue that it would help somewhat with that because it puts a cost. Like, remember how people are like, well, you know, spam is so ubiquitous because it costs people a stamp to send stuff, right? Or media mail, right? This could be a way, if you want to create a bunch of bots, you're going to have to spend money to actually put blue check marks by your box.
Well, $8 is pretty darn cheap then.
Well, and look at this. But you got to have like thousands of bots.
It devalues it. The point of the check mark was to make Twitter a more credible place by saying, right, we verified this is the real Beyonce, right?
The story
and
was,
if all those people go away, then the blue check mark ends up becoming valueless. And then what are you selling it for? It's worth nothing.
The story was that Tony La Russa, who was the manager of the Oakland A's, maybe he was already at the Cardinals, but he's a baseball manager, sued Twitter some years ago over fake Tony La Russa accounts. Twitter said, yeah, sorry, but we're not going to do anything. And I think they would have probably won that lawsuit. But coincidentally, right at the same time as that lawsuit came up, Twitter added verification check marks and gave Tony La Russa one.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly, you know, to get around all of that. So it really was about, if this has got a check mark, we have verified that you are you who you say you are, and you are a somewhat public figure. I guess, did you apply for it, Stacey, to get it?
I think maybe I got it as part of GigaOM, and GigaOM did something. I just one day woke up and there was a blue check mark. I mean, I am who I am, but I don't know.
Well, and of course, in Elon's tweet about this, he said something about peasants.
Yeah, lords and peasants.
Lords and Twitter's current lord and peasant system for who has or doesn't have a blue check mark is BS. Power to the people. Blue for $8 a month. But in fact, what he's doing is exactly the opposite.
That's the opposite.
We didn't pay for that check. We proved we are who we said we are, not lords
or peasants.
The
people with the money are going to pay that.
Now it's the people willing to pay $100 a year who will have a blue check mark regardless of their. And who's going to pay for that? Brands, maybe?
Right.
Russian bot farms, for
Schmucks.
Sure. Schmucks.
Well, maybe like the New York Times will pay to verify their reporters.
Brands, absolutely.
Okay, yeah that's
well,
a way
well, to here's it. Somebody calculated what it would cost the parliament in the UK to do it, because politicians should be verified, so you know you're actually talking to the politician, not some faker. And it's all bad. As my father would say.
Maybe, I mean, I'm trying to see how this would give legitimacy, right? Because, like, you could have, like, a double verification system. Like, there's the pauper verification system for people who are like me, who are truly people. Then you could have the paid verification system, although that does kind of destroy some of the legitimacy. But if you're, like a grifter, like a traditional grifter, you could just be like, yeah, I'll take your money, people who are pissed off about not having a check mark. So maybe there's like a two-tiered system that could develop. If Elon's smart, he could take advantage of that.
He later clarified to say there will be, as there are now, subheads saying public figure. That's the one I've seen, public figure, maybe newspaper. So maybe the check mark is your reward for giving him $8. And then underneath it, there is some sort of thing that
he's grasping at straws. He's grasping on the side of the cliff to figure out how to keep from drowning here. I'm sure we're going to get to it, but Neelay Patel's piece was just chef kiss brilliant, taking in the mess that Elon has gotten himself into. And he can't win anyway. He's going to piss off the advertisers by letting the crap in, or he's going to piss off the crappers like his new friend Cat Turd. And then lose the advertisers. He's going to piss off China doing one thing. He's going to piss off America doing another thing. He can't win.
The article from The Verge is called Welcome to Hell, Elon. You break it, you buy it. And yeah, everybody retweeted it because it was exactly the encapsulated problem Elon's going to face. For instance, he's got a business in China, a big one called Tesla, that needs the support of the Chinese government to continue to operate. What's he going to do when his big moneymaker, Tesla, is under threat from the Chinese government unless he approves Chinese propaganda on Twitter? He's got a very challenging situation to be in.
Germany,
is this like Jeff Bezos buying the Washington Post?
No.
Because isn't couldn't you have said the same thing about Jeff Bezos, that China, well, or wherever Amazon business is important, those countries would have undue influence on the Washington Post? You don't think so?
No, because he when he did it, he said, "I'm going to be hands off. I'm going to have no influence here. I'm on the other side of the, pardon me, Chinese wall that we have in newsrooms," and he's proven that to be the case.
Same thing with Lorraine Powell Jobs, who bought the Atlantic. Steve Jobs, who bought the Atlantic.
Exactly.
So there is, in fact, in this country, a long history of press barons, very wealthy people buying the press.
Yeah, they don't tend to tweet.
Sheldon Adelson.
Like
Sheldon Adelson, who was Adelson, no longer with us, but made all his money in Macau casinos, sold Comdex, made money in Macau casinos, became one of the top GOP donors.
Well, so he was the opposite. He did influence the Las Vegas paper.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Well, yes, that is true.
I think that there's two
roles in their ideals.
two different motives for Elon. It may be he's a businessman. $44 billion is way overpaying, right? We agree. They paid way too much money. It's not worth that. It's going to be very – the interest alone on his loans is $1 billion a year. Charging $8 a month to 443,000 verified Twitter users makes you $41 million a year. It doesn't really go very far towards his nut, let alone his interest, let alone making money to pay back the $44 billion. So maybe he's got other ideas that he can make back that money. So
I thought that was the whole story, is he had this whole long game thought out with it. Not necessarily.
Well, this is the question. Is he a businessman who has some 5D chess plan to recoup his $44 billion? Difficult though that may be. And that's what Neelai Patel's pointing out, is you're between a rock and a hard place. There's no way to win. Or is he buying influence? Because I'm honestly,
so here's my
he's
cynical
acting
view.
Like he's buying influence. He's using his now new bully pulpit, Twitter, to say stuff just as President Trump did some years ago.
Well, my cynical view is that the only way that he's going to get dividends paid is via Putin, Xi, and Trump. That this is about disrupting democracy, and that he will get rewarded in other ways that we may never know about.
Well, and the other ways are power.
Power and money.
Well, no, they could be. They could be money. Look at Jared Kushner and what he's done with Saudi investments.
Oh, by the way,
Trump was going to build a hotel in Moscow.
The Saudi sovereign fund is one of the investors in Twitter.
It's the biggest.
And Cepheus is now looking at this. The U.S. government's I don't know, what would you call it, committee to investigate the foreign influence in foreign investments in the United States. It's an administrative, it's not part of Congress, it's part of the Department of the Treasury. They're looking at it. They're saying, well, wait a minute.
What do you do now? So all right. So what if they say that somebody should have invested? What do they do? Make Elon borrow more money? This is a little late, isn't it?
What? So
they can undo deals. They can, I mean.
Geez, how do you undo that?
There is, that's, this is, by the way, it's kind of interesting. So I thought, oh, you have to have regulatory approval, right? But no, you don't, because it's an individual, not a company, buying another company. It's an individual buying it, like you're buying an ice cream cone. There's no regulatory approval, even if you have 20 more ice cream cones at home. That's not a
problem.
There
actually should be some regulatory approval for me buying an ice cream cone, but that's another story.
But so because it's a private individual buying it, there isn't, you know, the FTC and the FCC and the FDA, and none of these people get involved. But Cepheus could, because of the foreign investment in this. So that's interesting. So there is some, maybe there's some, it's not regulatory approval. The deal went through. He's sitting in the big chair.
There is a security
risk. He's got the
world's
best boss mug already. So
in the sink.
He is, by the way, we didn't know, but he is officially, according to SEC documents filed, he is the CEO. He's taken that role. Some speculation that he will let others take over. He fired the board. He has a star chamber, though. Wall Street Journal says Jason Calacanis is in the room where it happens, along with Kayvon Bakepour, who's the former Twitter.
Oh, he's back.
Head of product. Supposedly, he has Elon's ear and has actually went.
Kayvon's very good. Kayvon's a very smart product guy.
And this is where, if you're going to make a case for Elon, this is what you say. Well, Elon's smart. He's going to bring in the best people, and they're going to.
That's what I've been saying for the last 2 months. Everybody's been giving this man crap.
Like Jason Calacanis?
I think your theory is falling apart right there, Ant.
No, but I'm saying I got a hunch that he's smart enough to put the right pieces in place or people in place to make something happen.
If you know, he knew what that something was.
I saw a lot of people with uproar when he fired all of these former folks in from Twitter and bringing in his own staff. And I'm like, that's pretty common when it comes to acquisitions. They usually clean house and say, you know what, we're going to put our own people in place and we're going to go to work, get this thing done.
Well, they don't do it on the first day. And they don't do it with the vengeance, the wrath that seemed to happen.
I've been in three acquisitions, and two of them were surprising for me. And one of those acquisitions, yeah, the executives, they were gone. It wasn't the first day. It was the second day. They were gone.
Here's Jason's tweet from a couple of days ago. Day zero, LFG, which I'm thinking is let's effing go.
Yes, sir.
With a
kids talk.
It's kids talk. Yeah, because yes, Jason was always a man of the people. And there's the Twitter mug. So, and he's half drunk the coffee already. Black, I might add.
So Jason and I had an exchange on Twitter. Yoel Roth, who's a brilliant Twitter safety guy, who's really quite amazing. And so far, it looks like Musk is listening to him and is promoting what he's saying. So Jason just had a tweet kind of just saying, oh, look, what's happening with safety. And then he retweets Roth, but it makes it look like, to my mind, he was taking credit for this. Then Jason came back to me and said, no, look how I said that he's doing wonderful work in another tweet.
Jason's new bio. By the way, we know Jason well. He's been on many of our shows. In fact, he's hosted when I've been on vacation. Yep. It's always been a love-hate thing because he... Well, anyway.
He stole
my name, and it's fine. No, he may have been the guy who said, you know, Elon, you could be the chief twit. I'll give him credit. He could be the guy who said, Elon, maybe you shouldn't be the chief twit.
Maybe
I don't
you shouldn't.
Know. He could have. But he is now on his Twitter bio saying, chief meme officer, Twitter.
I'd buy that.
I don't know if he has an official role or not. Remember in the Discovery... which is probably the main reason Elon bought Twitter, is because there was going to be more Discovery in the trial in Delaware. In the Discovery, Jason volunteered to be the new CEO of Twitter. He said to Elon.
Send me in. Send me in, coach.
And he had all these ideas. And finally, Elon said, this is embarrassing. Stop.
Well, then he also started selling. He started trying to sell the debt without any authorization from Elon. And Elon got mad and scolded him publicly.
Yeah. So, also, in the room where it happens, David Sachs, the founding chief operating officer and product leader at PayPal, which of course Musk was one of the PayPal mafia. So is Sachs. So he's, maybe he is already the fact that he brought Kayvon back, fired
45, Tesla people, they say.
Well, now this is, by the way, this is really, if I were a Tesla shareholder, I might not be thrilled.
Exactly.
These Tesla engineers who really are kind of on a deadline with full self-driving are being called in to review, they say, product code by
printed
the
out.
Twitter engineers. Print it out. I think they backed down on that.
Yeah, they did.
You know, there's a lot of rumors flying. And, one rumor was, well, they're going to have people print out code so they can look at how thick the stack is, because what they really want to do is fire for cause before November 1st so that these guys don't get their stock vests. Well, that didn't happen. So I think there's a lot of misinformation flying around.
He's trying stuff.
Anybody here getting off Twitter?
No.
No.
And if I was, I can't sit here and say I'm going to announce it to everybody.
Well, that's
just
most
leave.
Annoying thing. Is
well, that was that great meme you sent out, Ant.
Yeah, just
you
leave.
Retweeted. Ant put out a meme that said, what was it? I'm leaving Something Twitter wrong. And I'm coming on Twitter to tell you I'm leaving. And then I'm staying on Twitter to see what the reaction is to me leaving Twitter.
Are. Yeah.
Right. It was great.
Here it is.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. I did cancel my subscription for the Twitter Blue.
No, I'm keeping that. Oh. That's Tony Hale's work. Except as you have a story in the rundown on the upper part that they're cutting payments to publishers. Part of the point of Twitter Blue, the ad-free part of Twitter Blue was you go to the Washington Post, you see stories without ads, and Twitter would share revenue for that user with the Washington Post. And now they're saying, well, we're not going to give you ad-free anymore. Well, that means I'm guessing that they're not going to share revenue with publishers anymore.
So I think
Mr. Jarvis, I still never saw that behavior when I was a Blue subscriber. I still would see like something from LA Times or New York Times or what have you.
It was only certain papers.
Yeah, it was a certain, and I thought they were within that group. Yeah.
If you go, I'm still a Twitter Blue guy until my subscription runs out. And by the way, I think because I canceled it through Apple, I could reinstate it before the end times.
Be a nice guy.
Tony, I was the $2.99 guy. You know, we got in at the beginning, so maybe I should. But occasionally on this right hand side of the top articles, you'd see a little thing that said, "Read article free."
Twitter, go to the Washington Post. Go back to the Washington Post one and see. Washington Post ones.
This is gone. They've stopped doing that.
So they stopped doing that, right? Which means that they're probably stopping to share revenue with the Washington Post. At the same time, he's talking about how we can share stuff. I got to ask you to play this video of him on line 54 of Elon discussing. He's discovering, as if no one has thought of this before, micropayments. That's it. Eureka! I have it.
Well, he did work at PayPal, so he probably does know a little bit about it and knows that it's been around for a lot longer than Twitter.
Well, and everybody knows.
So let me.
This is indicative of how he works.
Want to maximize subscribers and kind of what is this?
What is this roundtable? This isn't a Tesla factory. This is the Tesla owners roundtable.
Yeah, somebody just put this up. I have no idea, but it's him talking
Tesla
about
owner Silicon Valley, the kilowatts. Let's play this.
I understand that all these publications want to maximize their subscribers and kind of like own their customer and stuff. But there's a huge number of people who are never going to subscribe to that publication. No. Like, let's say, you know, not to pick on the Philadelphia Inquirer, but let's say you don't live in Philadelphia. So most of the time, you don't want to read the articles. But every now and again, they've got like some reporter on the scene at some news event, and they're actually the source article, and everyone else is just copying them and printing their stuff. And so you want to like read the Philadelphia Inquirer article, there's no chance you would become a subscriber. So they're not losing a subscriber, but they are annoying everyone who's not going to be a subscriber. So there's got to be some way to solve that.
Insert a quarter.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
to Twitter,
I'll pay
Doge.
10 cents for this article or something. Ooh, exactly. Like one Dogecoin for this
every
article?
Time yeah. I hear Elon talking, it sounds like it's a podcast.
Well, that's a self-hating podcaster right there.
It's just hot air. What if, I don't know, what if the aliens came down and we charged them $1.50 each?
One second later, he says, well, how about one Dogecoin? To read an article.
I heard Dogecoin.
He loves those.
Yeah, that was the perfect. Yeah.
By the way, Dogecoin, when he took over Twitter, soared. As if somehow there's some magical connection. Maybe they thought he'd be pumping it up again. I don't know. I think we're all saying, well, we'll stay on it and we'll see what happens.
I'm going to stay around unless I'm given a reason to leave. But right now, if I were to up and go, where would I go? Everybody says Mastodon or
I'm waiting for you. I really struggle with that.
Open source.
No one's on Mastodon. Like,
I am.
We're there, Stacey.
I doubled the Mastodon membership.
How do you pick your server?
Pick twit.social. That's a good one. I've heard of this Twit guy.
I get a lot of notifications in my inbox of people following me on our twit.social, Mr. Laporte, and I'm like, I'm never there. I'm just not there.
So my
community has been on Twitter, and right now it's still fine for my community to still hang out on Twitter.
Yeah, but you're doing Plan B. You know what's happening, Ant? I'm meeting lots of new people on Mastodon. And for me, it's a lot of professors. That doesn't mean you're going to see the same people, but there's lists of historians and others. And so it's a new raft of people I'm enjoying there.
Okay. Well, maybe at some point I'll
go. Let me go to my twit.social administrator board.
Here on air.
My administrator board. And I have... Every day there's been about 100 new members. I've got 27 new members wanting to join. I approve them to keep the spammers out. Right. Big fan of security. I'm going to check them all, and I'll uncheck any that sound like spam. Big fan of security now. Been following Twit since the beginning. Love Twit. That's fine. Longtime listener, Severed Twit Podcast. Big fan of Leo and Twit. We're an IT company. Okay. So every once in a while I run across this. We're an IT company looking for new avenues of accessing new customers and social. If they don't mention Twit, I generally uncheck them. I need a new home away from Musky Melon's Twit because Chief Twit joined Mastodon. I'm a longtime Twit listener. Elon Musk acquired Twitter. I regularly listen to Twig. So all of these I will approve, except for the ones where it's obvious they want to get onto spam.
Can we have a moment of dumb Jeff question corner?
Yeah.
So I emailed Leo about this, actually. After our great conversation last week with Rabble, I ended up finally joining Mastodon because I just followed somebody's link and I went, okay, I'm in Mastodon now. Then I realized, oh, hell, right, Leo has a server. Mm-hmm. And so then I did that too, so I ended up with two names. That's
okay. It's okay.
I got a question.
No, it's going to turn into the Google Suites, the G Suite thing. No.
Yes, it is. Here it comes.
No, it's not. No, Google, it's going to turn into Leo abusing me somehow, but not Google abusing me in this case. So let's say I just transferred my account over to twit.social. Would my experience be any different? Would I see more people there? Or it just depends on the individuals across anywhere in the Fediverse follow me. It doesn't matter where I am.
So this is what confuses people about Mastodon.
That's why I'm asking.
One of the challenges of explaining this, it's not monolithic like Twitter. There are many, many servers. Mm-hmm. You can join any of them. It doesn't matter if you join mine or somebody else's. And numbers of people have multiple servers. I think a public figure like you, Jeff, probably should have one named Jeff Jarvis so that people want to follow Jeff Jarvis. That's the one they follow. You can maybe rename the other ones to, you know, my fun account or whatever. But it doesn't matter where you are because, well, here, look at this. This is our twit.social interface. There's several, but this is the one I use, which is kind of like TweetDeck. And I'm looking at over here on the right, the federated timeline. These are all the different servers, all of them, and people posting to all of them. If you see somebody you're interested in, you just click their name and you click follow. Now, they're not on my server. Right. This is Meow. Meow's on her own server.
How do I get that feed?
You don't have that's well. First of all, that's there. So if you go in the third column, there's a local timeline. This is everything that happens on the twit.social server, but there's a federated timeline, which is everything that happens in the entire Fediverse. And then if you find somebody you like, or you search for somebody and find them, then you follow them, and it doesn't matter where they are.
Right.
Because you're following them will then show up in the home feed. This is like your Twitter feed.
So the home feed is only the people I follow.
Those are the people you follow. Notifications.
Now, if I belong to twit.social, my home feed isn't any different than if I belong to Mastodon.
That's exactly right.
Okay. How do I get that? So I'm just using the Mastodon client right now, Mastodon.social right now on the web and my phone. How do I get that Fediverse feed? Is that in there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's over here. There's a couple
federated.
Ways to there's a couple ways to get it. That's what this globe is. Is the federated. And this is
there's
everything.
It tells me there's nothing here. Rate something or follow users.
No, then you're not you need to be in the federated timeline. And for instance, Galia, who's a regular in our club Twit, she's on Twit, so I'm going to follow her, and now she'll show up in the home feed. But I will also see her in several other places in the local timeline. If you're on Twitter, there's me. There's Ant. So let me follow Ant. Oh, I've already followed Ant. So you can cobble together something similar to Twitter, but I have to say, not everybody is on very small fraction of the total universe that's on Twitter is on Mastodon.
How many followers do you have now on Mastodon?
Oh, probably several hundred. I don't know. Let's see.
That's where I am now. I'm several hundred now.
I have 3,300 followers.
Oh, well, that's considerable.
Well, but I've been here a while. 358 following and 469 posts. The other thing is there's a cultural difference. And I notice a lot of the people who come over from Twitter treat it like Twitter. It isn't Twitter.
Right.
So, for instance, one of the things that's and every time you post on Mastodon, this is the interface to the posting is over here in the left column. Notice there's something that says CW. That's add a content warning. It is, believe it or not, okay, It is considered polite if you have direct eye contact in your photo. Obviously, if it's got nudity, if it's any kind of triggering post, you just say what the warning is, and it could be direct eye contact, and then it will be hidden to everybody unless they click on it. And it's just, this is why it's Mastodon is a little different than Twitter. It's also, I think, a little gentler than Twitter. The notion of protecting somebody's content, you know, from being a stuff that they don't want to see is fantastic, I think. You could choose your language, and you can, in your settings, decide what languages you want to see. Instead of 280 characters, you get 500 characters. You don't have to pay $8. You don't have to pay anything to add video of any length or pictures. But it's different, and I guess
different.
The biggest difference, there's this cultural difference, but the biggest difference is it's just not Twitter. But here's the interesting thing. It's not the only thing that's not Twitter. There's lots of other not Twitters out there that attempt to do something different. Right. And now all of a sudden more and more are popping up. So I don't think there's going to be an exodus. I don't, unless, you know, there's some things that Elon could do that would cause an exodus. Yeah. He could, I mean, honestly, the first thing that happened when Elon took over is a handful of accounts started tweeting the N-word and anti-Semitic stuff. And those people were quickly booted off. Thanks to Yoel Roth.
Yep.
But they were testing the waters, right? If at some point Elon does change the moderation, it could become a hellscape.
Or they don't have the resources to do it, which is the other problem.
Yeah, it could become a hellscape.
And Ant and Stacey, you missed an unusual show last week, which I loved.
I watched a rerun, trust me. Remember, I'm a fan first.
Hey. Oh, thank you, Ant. Thank you.
Hey.
I did not, because I'm not as nice as Ant.
Hey, but you're a little too honest, perhaps.
Yeah. That's part of being not as nice as Ant. Yeah, honest.
You could have just not said anything.
Well, what if there was going to be a quiz?
There's no quiz, I promise. I promise.
But to Leo's point, there are other things being built. So the Scuttlebutt protocol that Rabble's building Planetary on is really interesting, and is peer-to-peer, not federated, and has all kinds of other possibilities that can come up when you don't have internet access. And then Blue Sky, I keep yammering about. My one hopeful scenario for Twitter is that the reason Jack is being so nice is he convinces Elon to sign on to Blue Sky, open up Twitter to Blue Sky, and then lots of new flowers can bloom, including services that can give you, you could choose to get ESPN's view of the social world, and you get the sports stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And I get the wonky history view of the world, and Stacey gets regulation and chips and other things, and maybe she starts a business saying, I'm going to give you the Stacey wonky view of social life. I'm going to find the good people. I'm going to find the good stuff. I'm going to kill, you know, the bad stuff. And new businesses can pop up. Vaults for your own data and choosing where to go. A lot of things could grow in a protocol-based world. It's speculative as hell. We don't know if it's going to happen or not, but people are trying, and I'm excited about that.
I asked for an invite to Blue Sky. As soon as I get in there, I will. This is another one. It's called Co-host, which is very Twitter-like, has a paid version and a free version. I think there's going to be quite a few. This is cohost.org. I think something that would be important to look for that is provided, for instance, by Scuttlebutt, is portability, the ability to take your account and move it to another server. Mastodon has that in the account settings. You'll see there's a move to a different account. But it doesn't.
I think you have to go to the account you're going to go to first and say move it from here, and then you go to the account you're moving. Mm. I saw something and move it to.
No, you can do either. There's move to if you wish. Yeah, and then there's move from. So
well,
you
don't
go either
aren't
way.
You, okay. And then, Leo, what if you decide, as you tend to do with things like Facebook and Twitter, I'm off this Mastodon thing. I'm going to turn off my server. What happens to the people who are on it?
You're screwed.
You are.
Yeah. This has kind of been a problem. One of the Mastodon instances, a big one, a tech instance, maybe tech.mastodon, shut down. They announced it. They said, move now. will be, you know, we're keep it up for, and I would do the same thing, keep it up for a month or whatever. The nice thing about this, this is a hosted service that provides Mastodon. Normally people pay for it. I've got it for free. They were very kind and they said, no, we'd be glad to host this for you. So it's cost me nothing. There's no reason, even if I wandered off, there's no reason why this wouldn't continue to run. So, I don't think this is necessarily the only answer. I'll tell you what, I tried to use Planetary. Right. I don't understand it at all.
Yeah. Well, we need to get us
and
help
see,
to
that's
set up
the
a
argument
thing.
I have about Mastodon. Just talking to the quote-unquote normal people in my Twitter feed, they all look at me sort of sideways, like, what the heck am I supposed to do in here? And how do I get other people I know to show up over here?
Are you on there, Ant?
On Mastodon.
Can I follow you on Mastodon?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, I've been a part of Twit.social for a long time. I just don't.
What do I search for? I'm not finding you. When I search for you, I don't get you.
Interesting.
Here, let me try it. I'm over in the search thing. A-N-T.
There you are. Well, let me see. Okay.
P-R-U-I-T-T.
Yeah, no, there's an Ant Pruitt on Mastodon. There he is. Not Twit.
Well, that's probably him. No, he's on Twit Social. Yeah, I don't know what you're using, Jeff.
I'm using Mastodon.social.
Oh, you're on Mastodon.social. Yeah. Ant's on Twit.social.
But I should be on Mastodon. That's the whole point.
Are you on Mastodon.social?
Me?
Ant?
Oh, Ant? No.
You're just on Twit.social.
Just Twit.social.
I search, and the only Ant Pruitt I get is Ant Pruitt at Mastodon.social. Zero posts, one following. Join 2018.
So... there's another way you can do this, which is
maybe
go
it is me. Hold on.
Here's another way. If you know what his handle is, you go to twit.social/@Ant_Pruitt.
Well, is it underscore?
Yeah. Well, that's on all us. And that will give you this. And if you're not logged in, there'll be a follow. And
Stacey sounds all fascinated with this right now.
Well, you know, I understand this is problematic.
No, I'm interested.
This is problematic.
No. I'm just.
This ain't Twitter.
There, I found you, Ant. You're there. I can moral panic you. Good. I'm now following you.
I really like Mastodon because it tends to be somewhat more geeky. But by the way, there are Mastodon instances for all kinds of people. There's a sex workers Mastodon instance. There's
historians.
There's all sorts of stuff. So that's the other side of this is you can have a local experience that's like Discord or something that's very local and specifically yours. Mastodon tends to be
something
funny
about me. So I used Mastodon for the first 2 days. And I was like Ant. The first moment I looked at it, I said, I can't do this. It's too new, right? But then I started getting used to it. But I kept on. It was so subtle. There's just this light little purple to add someone to follow them or unfollow them. And I was unfollowing people I had just followed because I didn't. It was too subtle for me. You know what I did that changed everything? That made me happier? That made me work better on it? Can you take one guess what I managed to do?
Dark mode. Away?
Yes, I went to light mode, and it made, honest to God, it made everything better. It really is something about my brain. It, honest to God, it's not just a joke. I can't do dark mode.
You said something earlier, Mr. Jarvis, about being on this platform and meeting new people. And I think it was pre-show where I said I may just be jaded because I find myself not necessarily – actively looking for new people online to meet, you know, maybe finding new content creators. Yeah. But far as just meeting for general conversation, I can't say that I'm actively looking. So I don't spend a lot of time here on twit.social, but I do spend a lot of time on twit.community because those are the people that are here that we
are. People from
know.
Twit.social want to follow me. I follow them immediately.
By the way, Twit.community is our forums.
And that's the forums, the discourse, right?
Yeah.
Oh, discourse. Right. But I'm saying that yes, the Twit connection matters. But I'm just reading. So here's histodons, historians here, right? And a woman named Dr. Michelle Lynn Kahn comes in and tells me all the things that she's interested in, and I'm interested in the same things, and I never knew her before.
So I wonder if it's just a question of critical mass and that.
Yeah,
I think it's true of any social network.
What you trying to get out of it?
Yeah, what you want and who's on there, and that's like any social network. I mean, you have
Stacey. Will you come on with us?
Sure, I guess.
No, you don't have to. Don't look.
So
no,
Ohm
there's
had
no
to drag
peer pressure
me
on social media. There's no peer pressure.
Ohm dragged me kicking and screaming onto Twitter, and now I use it. And I'm very
really?
Antisocial. Yeah, I'm not. I am really bad at being social.
I'm right there with you. I think I do a lot more auto posting here nowadays, more so than just out there putting things out there myself. It just feels weird now. I don't know. Like I said, I think I've just become more jaded in the last several months after watching the world start to burn up around me.
Burn.
And you know, and then it's 70 degrees in November. What?
I should also point out that Mastodon itself isn't a thing. It's a client of something called ActivityPub, which is the equivalent of Scuttlebutt. Mastodon is like Planetary. Okay. It is a client of ActivityPub. And there are Pleroma, P-L-E-R-O-M-A, is another ActivityPub interface, Pleroma.social.
Is it federated with Mastodon or is it separate?
Yes.
Yes.
It also is federated with something called PixelFed, which is an Instagram that is on ActivityPub that can
Wouldn't
federate.
You like that, Ant?
This is,
yeah, I'll take
this
a look
is
there.
Exactly what Instagram used to be. Very simple.
Yeah, you might really like that.
Yeah.
I follow PixelFed.
PixelFed.org. I'm actually on it. Let me log in here. It's so I kind of like this idea of a Fediverse a little bit. You know, the idea that you could have a variety of different interfaces, and
nobody can own it all.
That's the really, really good thing. Yeah, yeah,
that's true. I mean, I would join it just for like it feels like a more ethical place to be. If that sounds that sounds so fancy though, like I only socialize on ethical social networks.
Well,
but at the same time,
but that's
I
what
mean,
open
that's a
is.
Huge value.
That's what open I mean, is. Open is ethical.
Yeah,
that's what open means.
Open, well, that's not
or
true.
Supposed to.
Yes,
be.
Open source is not.
It can be misused. You're right, Stacey. But to be open is more of an opportunity to be ethical.
Yes, but also openness can be used as a shield / bludgeon to
harass people.
Okay.
Is it though?
Sure.
Have you met?
Who was the bad Mastodon?
Linus doesn't bludgeon people.
Truth Social is built on Mastodon, right?
Yeah, but it's not a federated instance. They stole the code and run a siloed. But Gab is on Mastodon. That is a
right
wing.
Right. Place. So yeah, it's open means anybody can use it. So bad people can use it too. Yes.
Yeah. No, I'm not talking about who's using it. I'm talking about the ethos of open. Which is not proprietary, not owned by a company, created by users for users. Yes, users can be bad people, but open is ethical, in my opinion. It's in the nature of it. Were you, Stacey, were you here when Matt Mullenweg was on? I can't remember.
No.
No, but no, I mean, I've talked to Matt before. And
that was his big thing, right?
I think so in a capitalistic society. So I think openness, when we talk about ways of making money, when we talk about sometimes somewhat content creation, I mean, they're like as a content creator, I do get worried about too much openness and, you know, the ability to take my stuff and put it everywhere. I mean, that's a downside of the web in some ways. Open is not just a primary good. That can be a modality that you think is important, but I would not say that openness is inherently ethical just because openness can lead to abuse just like anything else, I guess.
Well, humans can screw anything.
Well,
up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
Stacey's right.
I'm not against openness, but you can also say, I'm going to open up the code for a nuclear bomb. And, you know,
but I think that is okay. Okay, there's a good example, right? On this, which is more ethical, a closed source nuclear bomb recipe or an open source nuclear bomb recipe? At least one's more democratic.
Yeah. Good question. Well,
so nothing is perfectly ethical, but on the scale of ethicality, open is more on the ethical side than anything closed, in my opinion. But that's
I'm just going to say, give me an example
of something closed, and by which I mean closed source, I mean proprietary, that is ethically superior to its equivalent.
Mozilla. I would say the schematics for a nuclear power plant. I mean, there are certain health and safety things. I would even say if you had a happy medium, like a group of people to monitor things like medical devices, like I want them
medical
to be
devices
more
should
open
always
than,
be open
hold
source.
Hold on. Let me finish. I
Stacey's
think
back.
That medical hold on.
Oh, fair.
Medical
That's fair.
Devices fall in the middle area. Like I would love for it to be open from like a security perspective. I want that code not like totally governed by one profit-seeking entity. But I do think that it's bad news to have the diagrams for maybe certain drugs that could be then manufactured poorly, for example. Like I think mm-hmm. it's not one or the other. There are areas where you're going to need to set
shades of gray
in regulatory committees.
Here's my argument to that. Drugs can be manufactured poorly in secret or in the open, right?
True.
Which would you prefer?
Well, once they're out in the world, you can test them and say, oh, shoot, no, this is a poorly manufactured drug.
If it's open, you can see it. If it's done in secret, you can't. So I would submit, as long as you're comparing apples to apples, nuclear annihilation, open versus closed, that in almost every case, open is preferable for society, for ethics, for security, in every other thing, because you can examine it. Could there be a poorly made generic? Yes, absolutely. But
are there secrets
would know.
We don't want to have out into the world? Like the easiest way, like actually think about like manufacturing sarin or some sort of highly toxic. That's the sort of thing I wouldn't want to be open.
Well, I agree. Because there shouldn't be there any thing- open poison gas manufactured.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what the nuclear bomb thing is.
That
but if,
the
and
list.
If we go back to medical devices, if you start looking at ways to hack something like a medical device, having some of that
open's
open
always
could
better.
Be a problem.
No. This is provably the case. Open source software is invariably more
well,
reliable.
We're talking
than
about software here, and I'm not going to argue with you on software, but I'm talking about open source manufacturing of things. I'm talking about like software. I'm talking about hardware boards and designs, and I'm talking about processes. That's
I think in
everything.
Every case, when you keep it secret and proprietary, there is no oversight. Can you make bad things in an open process? You bet, like sarin. But if you're comparing sarin closed source versus sarin open source, I think the open source is preferable. Should there be secrets? That's not what we're talking about. Should there be secrets? What you're talking about is, well, I mean, anyway, we both
okay,
made
then
our
we
case.
Should we should dump then the sarin open source.
Yeah.
We'll just say sarin should be secret.
That's already on the list.
By the way, it's easy to make mustard gas. You can find it online.
I know.
People do it in their kitchen by accident all the time.
Accidentally, yeah.
Yes.
So the second part of this is you can't keep things a secret. We've tried to keep nuclear proliferation limited to a handful of countries. It's hard to keep that stuff secret. So in any way, that's good. There's your argument. It's a good argument. It's a common argument. Here is just briefly to complete it, and then we're going to do an ad. This is PixelFed Ant. This is my
yes,
account.
This is
PixelFed.social. So it's basically, if you look at it, looks like Instagram. It's got comments, got pictures.
Right. I click to join.
You have to pick a server.
Yeah, I pick
a server. So this is PixelFed.social, which is the largest.
Is what I pick.
Yep.
And I'm on that page now, and it's giving me the rules. Yeah. And then it gives me a line of code, two blocks of code right below it. I'm like, what is this? There's no join. There's no click here.
Yeah, I'm joined, so I can't tell you. I don't know what you're seeing. I don't know what you're seeing. But
part of my confusion.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to try. Yeah. I'll log out and see what it looks like. it should be just, it is Mastodon. It should be just like joining a Mastodon. Mm-hmm.
It says fedi.db.
Fedi. Oh, it sounds like it's crashing on you. That you shouldn't be seeing that. That's not right.
Okay.
All right. I think it's crashing on you. Let me log out. And see
they also
want
to follow your pixel fed.
What you should see is this.
Yeah, I'd like to see
you should see
yeah,
this.
I'd like to see that. Yeah. Photo sharing for everyone.
Actually, though, this is not. This is the login page. I wonder what the page looks like to create an account. I don't know.
And so I'm following you both on twit.social and pixelfed.social.
You can
right?
follow. Well, here's what's interesting. You can follow my pixelfed pictures on twit.social because it's another Mastodon
right.
instance.
Right.
That's what I'm doing
that's,
on.
That's, yeah. that's what I wanted to play yeah. with is just yeah. to see how easy that will yeah. work together.
So all of that in theory, if it doesn't spit up some database error.
Yeah, I got a bunch of code on my screen.
Yeah, I think that sounds like an error. All right, let's take a quick break because I think we've gone overboard, unfortunately. And my plans to keep the show shorter than 3 hours.
Right.
It's because we like talking to each other.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
And we get
well, and this yelling is hard. And the Mastodon stuff is super valuable. Like what you're doing and Jeff's and Ant's confusion has been like, I'm learning a lot. So I appreciate this.
Yeah.
Well, if ever.
And you'll almost never hear me say those words about like a social media conversation, yeah. but here I am. So thanks.
It's a new day.
She comes back refreshed.
To me, the social media is always best when it's kind of a constrained group rather than everyone.
Yeah, because you can strain on it.
Like openness so much. Yeah. Okay.
Well, all these solutions.
I am just
you know
teasing.
What's closed? Twitter, Facebook, Google. You know what's
it's
open?
True.
Mastodon, Scuttlebutt, Planetary, PixelFed. Those are open. And the thing is, you don't like it. You run your own server. You write your own code. Now,
see,
you're talking
about software again. That's okay. Open software is good.
Well, open software and open hardware are very similar. I don't want to get in this hole.
Okay.
Yeah. Do your commercial.
Back away. To the app.
You're never going to get a commercial in here.
We're going to put that in Twit Plus.
Wait a minute. I have to do my, I have to log back in so I can see my pictures on PixelFed. Our show today brought to you by Tanium. Let's talk about cybersecurity a little bit. You know, the industry's approach to cybersecurity is, Tanium would say, fundamentally flawed. What do they mean? Well, IT management, security point tools only offer, you know, a piece of the puzzle. It's like, you know, what was it? The nine blind men and the elephant. Everybody's got a different take on it, but it's only a small part of the solution you need to protect everything. And many of these solutions promise to stop all breaches, but they can't. They just can't. Making decisions based on out-of-date data, trying to defend your critical assets from cyber attacks with tools that don't talk to each other is no way for IT teams to navigate today's attack surface. It's time for a new approach. Tanium, T-A-N-I-U-M, says it's time for a convergence of tools, endpoints, and IT operations and security. Tanium has solutions for government entities, education, financial services, retail, healthcare. You could trust their solutions for every workflow that relies on endpoint data. They've got asset discovery and inventory, and it's fast. You can track down every asset in your entire IT estate instantly. You've got risk and compliance management that will help you fix and find vulnerabilities everywhere in seconds. You getting the idea? Fast. Threat hunting will let you hunt for sophisticated adversaries in real time. Client management allows you to automate operations from discovery to management. And of course, because your data is the most important asset, it's got sensitive data monitoring, which lets you index and monitor sensitive data globally to know what's going on with it. And again, in seconds. Tanium protects organizations where other endpoint managers and security providers have failed. With a single program, Tanium identifies where all your data is across your entire IT estate, patches every device you own in seconds, implements critical security controls, and it does it all from a single pane of glass. Just ask Kevin Bush. He's the vice president of IT at Ring Power Corp. He says, quote, Tanium brings visibility to one screen for our whole team, and if you don't have that kind of visibility, you're not going to be able to sleep at night. Sounds like Kevin. It's been there, right? With real-time data comes real-time impact. If you're ready to unite operations and security teams with a single source of truth and confidently protect your organization from cyber threats, it's time you met Tanium. To learn more, visit Tanium.com/twit. Tanium, Tanium.com/twit. Tanium, thank you so much for supporting This Week in Google. We really appreciate that. And listeners, you support us by just using that address so they know you saw it here, Tanium.com/twit. Yes.
I tried a different browser. And this is what I see. Photo. PixelFed.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no. Just go to https://pixelfed.social. Oh, there you go. Okay.
All right. And then I get that.
Oh, that's a mistake. That's code.
It's so weird.
That's code. Wait a minute. Go up a little bit underneath.
Oh, go back?
Go underneath the rules. What did it say? Wait, what? Node info.
What's that URL you're at?
That's what it took me to at that click.
Try pixelfed.social just to see. And it may be, don't click that. Just go to type in your browser, pixelfed.social. Something's wrong. I don't know what's going on. Yeah. Maybe it's down.
Okay, there so you now are. Maybe I can register here.
Yeah, I think maybe that's the page I got. Maybe you just enter it, even though you don't have an account yet.
Yeah, just I don't have an account. I don't see you register.
No, I know. Just enter what you would want it to be. Maybe that'll let you. It'll say, "Oh, good, welcome. You're new. Here's your new account." And by the way, I always do. And it has two factor. I always turn on two factor.
Oh, of course.
For both PixelFed and Twit.social or any Mastodon.
Of course.
All right, we're going to move on.
Past Elon. That
was all Elon. So let's talk about TikTok.
Bringing Sifius back into the equation.
Actually, this is Brendan Carr, one of the commissioners, one of the best commissioners.
Brendan Carr, it's the free speech stuff. Yeah, Jeff?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a
FCC troll. Commissioner. He says, well, this will tell you that Cepheus should ban TikTok. I just did an interview with Normal. He's on the techie. He used to host KQED's forum. He's very well connected. Michael Krasny, professor of literature at San Francisco State. And he said, TikTok, we should ban it, right? It's Chinese. Mm. I said, well, if you want to start banning things, maybe you want to ban Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. They all influence us. And by the way, Chinese and Russian and other influencers are very prevalent on these platforms. Why is it because it's from China? Is that why it's so dangerous?
Well, they're talking about sharing data from people's phones. So you're downloading an app on someone's phone. And the argument is, well, the national security argument. So this is where you can't just make a case, I think, on influence alone. But you could say, hey, if you are a government official who has TikTok, not on your work phone, but let's say.
You mean on the phone I have that was made in Shenzhen, China? On that phone?
Well, I'm just throwing out their argument.
If you're going to start banning stuff from China, go ahead.
TikTok does have an overreach. Think about things like keystroke loggers from the website. They do track more data than they say they do. So you could make a case that they are not as transparent as maybe they should be, and that all that data goes back to China and the Chinese government can use it. Is that enough to ban it here in the U.S.? I don't know, but that's the case that should be made. I mean, influencing is such a
Senator thing. Warner agrees. Democrat said last week, mm-hmm. This is something you would normally hear me say. This is not something you normally hear today, but Donald Trump was right on TikTok years ago. If your country uses Huawei, if your kids are on TikTok, the ability for China to have undue influence is a much greater challenge and a much more immediate threat than any kind of actual armed conflict.
So I went to a hoity-toity conference today where hoity-toity business people were. That's why I was going to say that I dressed up.
I like your jacket.
Look at him.
That's a nice jacket. Yeah.
Sharp.
So... And it's off the record, so I can't say anything. But the point was that they said that 10 years ago, you said, oh, China is the key to all growth. And now the conversation I heard around the room, I heard it with some German executives and others, is there's a deglobalization and a delinking that's going to happen and be happening fast, where companies are being told, get out of China, you can't do anything with China, we can't do anything in China anymore. Now, I think China is a malign influence in the world. I don't like what they do with freedom of expression. I've got all those issues, but we are pretty closely tied. And let's remember that Canada doesn't want their citizens' data stored in the U.S. Germany doesn't want their citizens' data stored in the U.S. Brazil doesn't want their users' data stored in the U.S. because they think that U.S. is a malign actor with data.
Not wrong.
They're not wrong.
Yeah, they're not wrong. So when we stand up on our high horse here, again, I don't like China for a lot of reasons. It's an authoritarian government. It's more authoritarian today than it was 2 weeks ago. It's god awful on freedom of expression. It's god awful on human rights. I'm not defending China, but let's also look in the mirror.
Right. Look in the mirror, because we're the same country that's sending a bunch of jobs over there for manufacturing stuff that we get to play with instead of keeping those.
Well, and in fact, the United States' history of imperialistic aggression is in some ways worse than China. At least China is trying to exert soft power and economic aggression.
They're exerting hard power in some, areas. Look what's happening to the Uyghurs and Tibetans. Yeah. That's pretty hard. Yeah. That's not soft imperialism.
They consider that their own territory.
I know, but if you talk to the people who live there.
Yeah, ask the people in Guatemala when we invaded on the benefit of the United Fruit Company. Ask, we don't have the best. Look what we've done to the people.
Oh, I know.
Cuba.
If
you were a Cuban today, I don't think you'd be too happy about the United States.
Yeah, I
want to ask Stacey.
We just released
somebody from Guantanamo who'd been there 20 years without charges,
right. Trial,
no trial, no charges. We just stuck him there.
Stacey, the story that I've been wanting to hear you on when you haven't been here, deserted us, is your wisdom about Biden's rules on chips and American executives in Chinese chip companies and how that's affecting the chip ecosystem.
Okay. Well, let's talk about it. all right. What do you want from my opinion? I mean, do I think this is good or bad?
A little bit.
Give me an anchor.
So also at this conference today, they quoted the guy who wrote the Chip Wars book, the new one's out, that the chips are the new oil, which is to say that they're the new scarce commodity that's going to be fought over.
That's so stupid.
Don't kill a messenger yet, Stacey. Don't kill a messenger. But were Biden's moves on China, where executives had to just stop working, hands up, don't do anything, and by some accounts paralyzing potentially the Chinese chip industry, is that a good move? Is that cutting off our nose to spite our face?
So our relationship with China has so many complexities. We've touched on a bunch of them right there. We hate its human rights records. We sell $1 billion worth of stuff there. It's the world's largest market. We can't actually extricate ourselves from this relationship. So what we do is we press on different pressure points. Right now, chips and the CHIPS Act is a pressure point. So right now, we're looking at China and we're being a little bit more aggressive because China's being a little bit more aggressive. Now, we can't go to them and say, hey, don't go after, don't squash Taiwan. We can't say that to them directly because that would be blatantly going to war, right? But what we can do is hit some of these other pressure points. And I look at, from a political point of view, this helps give the perception that we're solving what is an intractable problem in is it time constrained? It is a problem of timing. This is a problem that will gradually get better, but we cannot extricate our chip manufacturing and our product development industries from China at all. We can do this, but we're not if everybody, if all of our U.S. executives in China throw up their hands and go home, in a year or so, we're going to be back sharing information. Not just because it's a huge market for semiconductors, but because we manufacture so many things over there and we can't pull all of that out in a short time frame. And by short, I mean like 2 to 3 years. I'm not even talking like tomorrow, right? So this to me is like political posturing to get what we want and to send a message to China and also feed people back home like we're doing this image that we're doing something about a problem.
Is the damage to them we're gonna, or us real?
It sounds similar to the Trump era tariffs against China, which ended up costing China nothing, but cost American companies a lot and consumers.
But if I was an American CEO, I would be eyeing places other than China to do a lot of my work.
That's reasonable. And Apple's doing that, among others.
Everybody's doing that. And so that is – so what we're going to see is a gradual shift to other markets. And, maybe we do completely go to war with China and everybody has to get out. It's just prudent thinking given the way – and this is another signal to like drive that for anybody who's apparently not aware of this. This will be another signal to get them to say, oh, crikey.
Maybe I'm naive. But it seems to me the best way to avoid war with China, to keep China out of Taiwan, is to have strong economic ties, to make them more dependent on us, not less, to make it in China's interest that the United States is a partner, not an enemy. The best road to war with any country is to cut all ties, because then the country has nothing to lose. Is that naive? Is that dumb of me?
Oh, dogs. Sorry, we still have strong economic ties with China. We're still doing billions of dollars in trade with them. That's why this is a good move in the sense, like, it's a pressure point.
Yeah, it's not a
tourniquet.
Sure. Yeah.
It's a gauze pad.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, that assumes it's bleeding. Anyway, the point is,
the other side of this is there are also leaders who are nuts, who don't act in their country's best interest, the world's best interest, like Putin, like Kim Jong-un. Maybe President Xi is nuts. You know, you can't appease Hitler. You can't say, well, we're going to have strong economic ties with Germany, then they won't invade Czechoslovakia. It didn't work. So, you know, it doesn't work against somebody who's not a rational actor. Is China a rational actor still?
I think still, yes, there's some real politicking. I also want to... Oh, goodness.
We don't hear any of that. So
you're good.
Don't worry.
Oh, okay. Good. Okay.
God, I thought you were choking, Stacey. I thought the waffle had gone down the wrong way.
There's no waffle yet.
You scared me.
You have such a good microphone that we don't hear any of that. So keep
off axis.
Okay. Well, good. Okay. So something to pay attention to is, I don't know if y'all saw, Protocol did a thing about Eric Schmidt's ties and not fear mongering, but hype around AI, the AI battle with China. And part of that is the chip thing. Like, if they develop enough chips, they can build supercomputers. They've had the biggest, best supercomputer actually for quite some time. And we've been paying attention to that, but there is an economic interest. In this case, it was all about Eric Schmidt. But I would say in Silicon Valley, and to drive this fear, because it gives them money to spend on things that have historically been spent in China, right? So it brings more control back to them. And it drives federal investment and programs to like 5G. China's winning the 5G race. So I would also, like, the cynic in me looks at this and says, you know, this is kind of just the end result of lobbying, if that makes sense.
If a tiny little island in the Caribbean can survive 50 years of total embargo from the U.S., I imagine China could, too. We have not brought Cuba to its knees.
Okay, dude, but Cuba is really, I mean, nobody wants to be Cuban and they don't want to live. I mean, Cuba is not like a happy, great place to
be. Because of our sanctions.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I know.
All we've done is create a humanitarian crisis. We haven't solved any problems.
And you could argue that our sanctions against, is it Iran? Yeah. Really caused a lot of problems for the country that then helped fuel, you know, radicalization and all kinds. I mean, I get it, but it's sometimes you got to work with the tools you have. But we're not sanctioning China. We're still, again, spending billions.
I think you make an excellent point. I think the chip embargo, and the Biden administration said, is because It's because they're using these chips to create computers to break our codes and to spy on us. You know, they're using it militarily against us, so we don't want to give them those weapons. I can understand that. And it, you're right. It's not cutting them off. So in that respect, maybe this is, again, I'm naive on this. I'm not, I wouldn't pretend to be Henry Kissinger here. But
good.
he opened up China.
Yeah,
that would be great.
Yeah,
maybe we need him at the moment.
I think opening up China was a good thing. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's unfortunate that China is going more and more authoritarian. I think
the whole world is going more and more authoritarian.
They're not alone. I mean, look at Italy.
Look at us.
Yeah, yeah. Italy is about to ban raves.
Oy.
Because of their right-wing government says, well, we don't want young people.
Well, what accent was that?
We don't want you. Because I think the Italian accent is so fake.
Blondie and Baylor goes like to Mario. Italy on vacation.
Hey, we don't Russian. Want raves in Italy. Hey, Mario. Public parties of more than 50 people will require a permit going forward in Italy.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Unless it's a fascist march. Then it's okay.
I wonder if don't raves require a permit here?
No, I don't think so. Do you have to have a permit to have a party here? I don't think
probably
so.
Well, if you host a rave, like, I mean,
well, let me just let me just Google it.
Well, they might not be specifically illegal, but
legal
if I want to have
in the USA.
Well, if you want to provide amplified sound in an outdoor space.
That's
yeah, for like 100 people.
The city and county of San Francisco says you need a permit.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So
raves are like concerts. So a large rave like a concert would require a business license, an event permit, permission of the property owner, some form of event insurance, and collecting taxes, of course.
So you have a point.
It's called a block party.
As usual.
Yeah. So I mean, now the Italian government could be like, well, they could have this law and be like, we're specifically targeting raves because sometimes
they are
like,
not going to allow any.
They are.
We'll turn them all down.
Yeah, but
I don't know how we got into this. I apologize.
Yeah, you did it, Leo.
It was authoritarian governments was how we got here.
They can't even have raves, the poor Italians. What have we come to?
Mike Masnick's article about Brendan Carr is, I think, very right on. He points out that Carr, who is a commissioner on the Federal Communications Commission, has done nothing to create any meaningful privacy safeguards over telecom, ad tech, or app sectors, all of which he is officially in charge of. And,
right.
And instead, he's going after social media, which he has no portfolio to cover.
To be fair, the FCC has not had a full democratic commission since Obama's administration. So he can't actually do anything.
Carr, again, is an absolute no-show, I'm reading from Mike Masnick, on the issue in the sector he actually regulates. And his
is that
belief,
Carl or is that Mike?
This is Mike. Oh, is it Carl Bodie? No, it's Carl Bodie.
Oh,
it's
Carl.
That sounds like Carl.
My fault. I said Mike. I'm sorry.
And his belief, widely shared,
that
banning TikTok actually fixes anything indicates he doesn't understand how any of this works.
Yeah, well, Carl's just mad all the time.
I think somebody should ban Fox News.
So.
But by the way, Carr Mike could legitimately have some control over that. He certainly has control over the telecom industry spying on us. And all Carl's saying is, look, if we suddenly cut off all of the sources of information to TikTok, they would just go to the telecom providers and buy it from them because they're not regulated.
And Carr has put forth efforts to regulate privacy. He's just been shot down I'm trying to remember when his term started. I don't think he's ever had a Democratic majority, but I could be wrong on that. The other thing is the FCC. The FCC has been doing this creeping power grab since about 2008, 2010.
By the way, is a Republican, I should point out. He's not a Democrat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's a Democratic majority or not, won't make much difference to him.
But
it's split right now because they can't. They can't
get Gigi on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
who, by the way, is fantastic, true voice of the consumer. Write your congressman. Get her on. Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or, hey, I got another idea. Why don't we all vote on Tuesday?
And I already voted.
Yeah, good.
Voted.
Because honestly, you want to make a change? Get Mitch McConnell out of there and Gigi gets nominated.
I'm in the Bellwether District in New Jersey.
Oh, are you?
Oh, yeah. I was like, none of us are in
Number
Kentucky.
Seven, Malinowski.
My vote in California means nothing. Which is why I don't argue with my relatives, because their vote means nothing as well. Hey, congratulations. Speaking of fascists, you made it on Piers Morgan's show.
Congratulations. On behalf of this very show. I was flogging our show last week because I was so happy with it and so wanted to have people watch it that I said, folks, this is an emergency. Twitter's been taken over by the evil Sith Lord. We send a signal for rescue and rabble answer.
Yay, Rabba. Rabble.
And you, so I was going to the show.
Yeah. And I see my name is on there and your name is on there.
Yep. Yep.
So what did Piers have to say?
I don't know. Somebody just tweeted this. I said
what
it
did
to
that
you
do
and
to
Lisa
your mentions?
And Jason. And I don't know what they said. They just said, oh, wow. What, Jarvis is here?
That was hysterical. Love it.
And by the way, I don't know how he found it because Piers Morgan, snowflake that he is, blocks me.
Oh, somebody sent it to him, probably.
Fascinating.
I'm blocked by Piers Morgan. You can add that if you want to my Lavinage list here.
Get the card.
Blocked
John.
By Piers Morgan.
Get the card. Add that. Blocked by Piers Morgan.
New lamination.
Let's take a little break. More to come. It's so nice to have Stacey back. You see how much more balanced and fun and informative and interesting it is with Stacey here. It's so great. So
Amen
great.
To that.
Our show today brought to you by, I love this company. You might know a little bit about this, Stacey. OnLogic. OnLogic makes orange, you've seen this color, you see it right there on the lower third, industrial and embedded computers. Little guys that are revolutionizing sustainable agriculture, bringing smart cities to life, increasing manufacturing efficiency. These are so cool. These OnLogic distinctive orange and industrial embedded computers. Have we received ours yet? I think we ordered one. I want one. OnLogic is the first, not that I have an industrial, I mean, I don't know what I would use it for, but I just think it's cool. It's the first choice in industrial computing for innovators around the world who need computing power that can survive, even thrive, where traditional hardware might fail. OnLogic designs and creates computing solutions that fit in the palm of your hand while powering everything from advanced robotics and AI to manufacturing automation, digital media solutions, smart agriculture technologies, because these are engineered for reliability. They're passively cooled. You can get an OnLogic computer that has no openings, completely ventless, protecting internal components from dust, airborne contamination. These computers can be used anywhere. They've removed fans, so it's a solid-state device, no moving parts, protecting against shock and vibration. Other design features and specialized components protect systems from extreme temperatures and interference. You get the model that fits your requirements. But you'll always be assured that OnLogic systems have been extensively tested to operate reliably wherever they're needed. You might see them on a medical cart at a hospital, on a crash cart. You might see them deep within a mine. The team at OnLogic is driven to create right-fit solutions tailored specifically to solve your unique technology challenges. And when it comes to software, they partner with the best. Companies like AWS to enable rapid evaluation and deployment of edge computing solutions. For example, they have AWS IoT Greengrass-compatible computers. They've been vetted and approved by AWS. So if you're using Greengrass, you'll have the peace of mind knowing it's going to work right out of the box. It's verified. It's approved. Look, if you need a computing solution that can be easily configured to whatever your particular needs are, supported by industry experts who are happy to talk to you, they're just a phone call, a website chat, or an email away, and they want to support you, and it's delivered quickly, that, yes, they've got the supply. The team at OnLogic is ready to help. To get started, learn more about OnLogic's 30-day risk-free hardware trial. That's nice, too. OnLogic.com/twit. OnLogic.com/twit. I've always said we've got the coolest sponsors. I love this. OnLogic.com/twit. Jeff, the next time you're in the hospital for atrial fibrillation, just look at the crash cart. You'll probably see.
That's right. That's
yeah.
Right. I'll do a selfie with me in the OnLogic box.
I'm sorry, that was me. You're not wow. Knock on LED. That's never going to happen. You take good care of yourself, right, Jeff? Don't eat the cacio e pepe.
I'm not actually. I have Chinese food in the refrigerator tonight.
Which is oily. Taking care of yourself.
You know, we talked about on Windows Weekly, it was using the rice cooker to make, and if it was Doc Rock on MacBreak Weekly, he said, you get leftover Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'm going to do it with Popeye's, Aunt. That was yours. You put that in the rice cooker on top of the rice. You cook it. By the time it's done, it's the flavor has permeated the rice, and you've got chicken.
Does it steam the crispy chicken?
That yeah, is brilliant. Yeah, yeah. And then you can tear it apart, so you've got little pieces of that's delicious chicken.
No, that's what the, you don't want.
You want crunchy?
Fried, doesn't it be fried? Not crunchy.
You can do the air fryer if you insist. But this idea is the flavor.
That's
is
brilliant.
You could just
rice.
Throw some chicken drumsticks on the rice and then
I
get
did,
the schmaltz.
I actually did that's that the last you, time. Yeah, I mean, and you mix it up and it's great. But if you do it in the rice kicker, it gets cooked into the.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's the schmaltz.
You know, we talk a lot about my many appliances. I love my Thermomix. You're not getting it. Sorry, Stacey. But I have to say, my Zoji Rushi 3-cup rice cooker, I use it all the time. It's so good. Do you have a rice cooker?
I have this Instapot thing.
That's close. I mean, that's close.
Yeah, and it does rice really, really quick.
The rice cooker, it just does rice.
Yeah.
And
it's so great.
And it has these Micom rice cookers have a AI chip, they say AI. I don't know if it is. But it's a chip that senses the temperature, the moisture. They measure it, so you could put too much water in. I did once the first time I used it, and it doesn't mm-hmm. care because it figures it out.
Oh, so nice!
It's always perfect, right, Stacey?
It is. It is good rice.
So good. All right. I'm sorry. How did I get on that?
You went from crash carts to rice cookers.
And I have no idea. That's right. I want you to eat healthy.
That's right.
Oh, right. Okay.
You should get a rice
fried
chicken for quinoa.
Fried chicken. Thanks, Leo.
Don't eat the fried. But I am gonna. You know what I'll do? I'll send him the rice cooker, Stacey, and some brown rice. And mine makes what's called GABA rice, which it germinates it before it cooks it. You set the timer. You say, I want to eat at 5. Well, it's twig. I want to eat at 6. Wait a minute. You're on the East Coast. I want to eat at 10 p.m. And it back times it. It does the whole thing. It cooks it. It soaks the rice at 104 degrees for a couple hours to germinate it, and then it cooks it. And it's supposedly more. I don't know if it's more healthful. And it's brown rice, so it's good for your. It's good for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's delicious. And then you put like a pound of butter on top of it. Oh, it's
there. You go. Now you got me.
So good.
Or the chicken. The chicken fat in there,
which is like
also
a pound
delicious.
Of butter. Yeah. Yeah.
Schmaltz.
All right, November 1st. What was that? Yesterday.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
End of the
yes.
line for Hangouts. They're flipping the switch.
I don't even know what I talk to Kevin on anymore. I just give up. Like, I just don't know. Because I've tried, I had the Duo account. I have Hangouts. I had GChat. I had all of this. And now I'm like, I don't
so
know
sad.
What people are calling me on.
Let me see. What is
I
it called?
I just don't know.
So I think when I launched, I think it's became Chat, didn't it? Or to become.
I still have Chat.
I have Duo. I have Chat.
And they brought it into the email. So I have a separate app on my phone. And then on the web, it's part of my Gmail, but it's like now a separate thing.
Yeah,
it's not
so
like.
My Hangouts turned into Chat. And Duo got supposedly. Let me launch Duo. I'm on the Pixel here. Duo is supposedly folded into that as well.
Oh, into Meet or something.
But it's still
yeah.
a separate
My mom
app.
Was mentioning that the other day, how it looks different.
It says,
I don't
new!
Recall.
Exclamation mark. When you're ready, create meetings and call people by tapping here. And keep a lookout for more coming soon.
New names, more brands, new logos.
Look at this nonsense. Welcome to Meet, parentheses, original. What the?
So original Coke.
Meets now chat. No, sorry. Change your mind. Meets
Where
now
is
duo.
The Google leadership? Where is the Google leadership to clean this stuff up?
If you want to make sure that you have, if you have Hangouts stuff you want to keep, Google Takeout. Go to Google Takeout, which is takeout.google.com. You can select Google Hangouts, deselect the others, because you know it shows you all the things you could do to Takeout. Choose one-time download, export it, and you're going to get an email once the data collection is complete with all your Hangouts in a form that are completely useless. But right. You'll have them.
Right.
Same with I downloaded all my tweets. Took 48 hours for them to get it to me.
Oh, that's nice. Do you have tweets going back to 2006?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice. And you have all of them whenever you joined, yeah.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. So it's sitting there somewhere. I'll forget about it, but I have it. I just felt vindicated.
So I guess that could have been in the change log, but you know, it's not. Mm-hmm. It's been a change a long time coming.
Wait, sorry. I showed y'all the original Meets app that I've now uninstalled because there is actually another Meet app that is not green. It is. It was right next to it. I'm sorry. I didn't see it.
Does your daughter play Roblox? Do we know anybody who plays Roblox?
Apparently, Little Weirdo does, but I've never seen it.
Little Weirdo plays it?
Apparently, but I've never seen it. Couldn't tell you the first thing about it. And Alice Lindsay's kids, too, I think.
It's supposed to be cool. I should really play it because it's like the new Minecraft, right? I mean, it's what all the kids are playing. Parsons School of Design has designed a Roblox-based digital fashion course.
So this Hi, Mom. I'm going to go spend tens of thousands of dollars to get a college degree. Oh, good, son. What are you going to learn? I'm going to learn to make fake clothes.
It's just a course, man.
I know.
Parsons, though, is considered...
This makes me feel old.
This is one of the best fashion schools in the country, right? Parsons?
It is. Yeah. It is indeed. Oh, absolutely.
That's where... what's his name, teaches from the design guy from the Project Runway, Tim Gunn. Isn't he teaching Parsons?
Okay.
I think he does. Right. Yeah, I love Tim
Can
Gunn.
You do a control F and type in NFT? Does it pop up in this article? Did they mention NFTs?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question.
You know what? If the metaverse is going to be big, you know, get people excited about doing a course. I mean, it's like when I took a course in blogging in 1998, okay?
Yeah.
We're all making fun of it, but...
Do you know how much money Henry is making on TikTok?
How much?
I don't know. Do you know? I want to... I think it's a lot. So I wish he could have taken TikTok in college. What he did take was a pretty much useless broadcast news degree, but he did learn how to edit there in a kind of old fashioned. I said, "Yeah, you're learning A/B editing. You're never going to use this, but it's probably good to understand the language of video and stuff." And I guess it did help him because he's a really good video editor.
Yes,
but he's got ads now for Heinz mustard. For Pepto Bismol,
attaboy.
That's funny.
Pepto Bismol.
Kim saw it on Facebook. She said, "I think this is your son. He's making this really spicy sandwich." And then he goes, holds up a bottle of Pepto. Says, "You're gonna need this."
That's how you do it, Hank.
I said, "You know, our advertising is slowing down quite a bit." He says, "Not mine.
Not mine.
Oh, jeez.
It's just got Heinz. Just got Smith
Kline
Glaxo.
You might need to
Glaxo.
Ask him for a job."
I may be working for my boy in a bit. That's just fine.
So I at this schmancy event today, off the record, so I won't say which, but the COO of TikTok was there, which is the reason I went, because I was really curious to hear her. She's very impressive. And the question I asked...
Was she Chinese? No, she's American, right?
Oh, no. She's Australian, actually. But,
oh, okay.
But what I asked was, I said, I'm addicted to TikTok, and it's fine. I'm happy with that. But I'm at the point of training my journalism students to serve audiences on TikTok. And are you going to have a creator's environment that's going to be useful ongoing? Well, again, it's off the record, so I shouldn't say. But yes, of course, she gave the answer you expect to say, which is we love creators. We want creators to be happy. We're coming up with more monetization.
Look, here's Henry. He's using Oscar Mayer meats. He's using Heinz yellow mustard.
Placement.
Product placement.
Yeah, but he gets paid for it. And he does say hashtag ad is the very first thing he says, which is, you know, he knows. He's paid partnership, all that stuff. And then the first comment says marriage material. So I don't know if that's because he's now loaded from the Heinz deal or because he can cook a hell of a Cubano. I don't know.
Ooh, a Cubano's delicious.
Oh, isn't that good?
Mm-hmm. Oh. So you put mayo on the top of the sandwich when you fry it?
Ask Henry. That's
It's like butter on the outside.
Yeah, I get it. I never know that.
Oh, yeah, that's the best way to make grilled cheese, too, right? You put mayonnaise on the outside. Yeah. Somebody said, too much mustard, dude. Yeah, but Heinz wanted a lot of mustard. Yeah, by the way, just a little tip. You don't make mustard gas with mustard. Who knew? Anyway, so I don't know if I would be the first person to say, oh, man, Parsons School of Design teaching fake fashion.
I don't, but I got to.
Because who knows? Those kids might be making billions.
Oh, you know? They can. Mm-hmm. Making fake hay. Somebody had to design the fake hay for years on Facebook.
What's the fake hay?
With Farmville.
For Farmville.
Wait a minute. You mean like they had third-party fake hay?
Like somebody had to design it.
Well, yeah,
somebody actually had to design the fake hay.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
It's led by Parsons faculty, created in collaboration with Roblox. Roblox representatives in marketing, creative, and education will be collaborating with Parsons.
Now, is that a conflict of interest? Is that leading kiddies down the capitalistic path to doom?
Nah.
No, it's giving them a job after college. My God.
You know,
Jeff,
honestly,
who are you today?
Seriously. And I know, Jeff, you probably were worried. Your son and my son are about the same age. I feel for this generation. They can't.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's
Minimum wage, forget it. You make $20 an hour, you still can't rent a room in Petaluma.
Nope.
So I've been very worried, but you know,
if anybody needs a WordPress developer, come to me for son Jake and I will send you their
way. But these kids are smart enough to know to say, yeah, I think I needed some skills for the 21st century. And this is one of them. The Verge says designing and dressing a digital avatar is a huge part. I didn't know this, of playing Roblox games. In the avatar shop, players can purchase anything from sneakers to designer gowns to outfit their in-game self, sometimes shelling out thousands of real-life dollars to buy digital items.
Thousands? See, that's kind of... Mm-hmm. That's
Roblox
okay, these
fans
people, like,
are buying digital Gucci bags.
Gamers.
Digital
gamers
Gucci
skins.
Yeah, if this is your outlet, this is your social avatar, make it look good.
Gucci is hosting an artsy garden space. This was back in May, so it's over now, where you could buy Gucci virtual goods, including a Gucci handbag for thousands of dollars. So there you go. Burberry has in-game outfits for a Chinese strategy game. Balenciaga made a post-apocalyptic world in place of a traditional one-race show. Louis Vuitton dressed up a virtual hip-hop group made up of League of Legends characters.
And fashion is often an early adopter of these things, just to play with it and just to be at the cutting edge. It's kind of that art plus technology creativity thing. So even
you know,
if it doesn't
funny, Stacey,
do it,
in the early days of the web, when I was at Condé, fashion was scared to death of it. They stayed way back.
So they were scared of the internet, but fashion embraces technology in a lot of weird ways. Mm-hmm. Look at Alexander McQueen's show with the robot spray painting. Was it Heidi Klum?
No. Bella Hadid or Gigi.
That was actually a call out to a prior show, like.
Oh,
20 years before.
I didn't understand. So when Bella Hadid got her dress painted on her.
Oh, well, okay. That was, yes. Now, I'll tell you when Alexander McQueen.
Oh, Leo.
Anyone in the chat
Stacey
know?
Stacey has to explain it to you. This chat?
No,
Stacey,
no.
You think
I
anybody
just,
in this chat would know?
Look at this.
I'm giving them credit.
This is Bella Hadid. So this is Paris Fashion Week this year. She went out there, and these guys paint on with some sort of weird
spray gun,
spray textile. They paint the dress.
1991.
So this was a call out to the 1991
So Alexander McQueen in his show. So this was not the Bella Hadid one wasn't from Alexander McQueen's show.
No.
He also
it was Copernicus.
Yeah, and that was a material science thing. But for McQueen's show, Sarah Burton did a robot spray painting address. Spray like an actual dress, not spraying the dress on her. And that was a callback to something that happened back all the way back in 1991. Oh, wow. 1999. So, yeah. Sorry. But yes.
McQueen documentary.
Oh, no, it was. They say it was an homage. There you go. See?
Interesting.
Stacy knows.
So
without Stacy, we wouldn't have known any of that.
Shalom Harlow was spray painted by robotic arms.
There you go. Was it 91 or 99?
Yeah, it was just SS09. I don't know the... Wow.
Spring show 09?
Maybe. I don't know.
No.
So this is in a documentary you could see about McQueen, I guess. He passed, right? Am I wrong?
He did.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Anyway, the point is, like, fashion is important because it's how people present themselves. And while they hate like the internet mm-hmm. and disruptions to their business model, the mm-hmm. designers are like all about like cool. Like there's some really awesome things like, Issey Miyake. Is that no,
yeah.
what's his name?
Yeah. Miyake.
He like pioneered an entire Miyazaki. That's it. An entire manufacturing process to make his pleats. I mean, like, these guys are like legit. It sounds
silly,
but
he's also famous for designing Steve Jobs' black turtleneck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the point is, I guess, getting into like things like the metaverse, it makes total sense that you would see people designing and the fashion folks getting in on this, even if we poo-poo it and think it's silly. It's basically creatives trying to figure out where the cutting edge is. And we should really respect that, I think.
Well, and let's not forget, was it YouTube that sponsored the Met Gala last year? And there were all these YouTubers.
I thought it was Instagram.
Oh, it was Insta, maybe. But all of these, influencers on the red carpet.
I remember Brownlee was there.
Yeah. Yeah, Marquez was there, yeah. Looking sharp, I might add, Marquez. Looking good. We always get into fashion at some point. I don't know why that is.
See, there are people making comments in the chat about fashion. I had faith in y'all.
Yeah.
I knew there were those. Yeah.
Is it a brown dress with black stripes or a purple dress with orange? I'm not. So let's take a couple more. Let's see before we take another break.
Oh, did ScooterX just Google acquiring the AI avatar startup? We could see that in
yes.
line of like presenting
did
yourself
this just
online.
Happen? Google like, acquires Twitter-backed AI avatar startup Alter. Hundo Milo. Anyway, it was a few days ago.
keep chanting Hundo Milo. That's
Hundo
great.
Milo. I don't know what that is. I know what a hundo is, but how do you say million in the argot of the people?
I don't know.
Million. 100 large. Hundo large.
100 doge.
Hundo. I know from watching a show about the city, London's financial district, that $1 million is a yard. So it'd be a hundo really? Yards. But that sounds like a football field. Anyway, apparently the acquisition was completed a couple of months ago. Nobody knew. But now, thanks to LinkedIn, this is what people do. They say, I got to update my LinkedIn. And then all of a sudden, everybody knows. Yeah. It's a Czech headquartered company. You may remember it better as Face Emoji.
Yeah, that's familiar.
Yeah, does that sound more familiar? And they got $3 million in seed funding from Play Ventures, Roosh Ventures, and Twitter. So what is Google going to do with it? They plan to use Alter to improve and ramp up their content offerings.
Well, we're going to have another social network from Google? Where else do you put avatars?
Your Google profile picture. You have a picture
That's
with
Google. That's $100 million? No.
Well, I'll tell you, maybe they're a little jealous because with Apple, you can have your, what does Apple call its emojis? Memojis. You can have your Apple your Apple Memoji as your profile picture, and when you log into your Apple computer and you type the wrong thing, it goes, no. Or it goes, yeah. It actually emotes back at you, which is kind of weird. But I think Google probably wants to be in that game. What's $100 million to a company like Google, after all?
Yeah.
Speaking of $100 million, Amazon has announced that if you're an Amazon Prime subscriber, remember you used to get 2 million songs for free that you could ask for on your Amazon Echo? They said, oh, the heck with it. Let's give them the whole catalog, 100 million songs.
It's 2 million clearly isn't enough to get y'all's attention.
I have 1,995,000 more rates. To go.
And Apple just raised their rates.
Yeah.
And so this,
if you're already paying for Prime, you got it. Now, you can't ask for a individual song. You can't ask for an individual album. But you can't ask for an artist. It's going to be shuffle play. And Apple does this, too. Apple has a $5 subscription to Apple Music. And it's kind of the same limitations. And it's really designed for, in Apple's case, for the HomePod, and for Google's case, for the Echo, because you're going to talk to it. Right, it's not going to be on your device so much as say, hey, Echo, play some Beatles music. And then it'll just play you some stuff. There are also, and this scares me a little bit more, going to include ad-free podcasts from CNN, NPR, The New York Times, and ESPN, as well as the entire Wondery catalog. They own Wondery. So Dr. Death, Smartless, Even the Rich.
They made a point of podcasting here. How into podcasts is Amazon apart from Audible? I didn't know there was really an Amazon podcast presence.
Well, to me, and by the way, I feel like we're getting now eaten up from on both sides.
I know.
So they want the same thing Spotify has. So when you go, like Joe Rogan's exclusive on Spotify, you have to listen to him on Spotify. We've talked about this before. Now Spotify has all the tracking they could ever want. They know how much you listen to, when you listen to it, who you are, what your credit card number is, exactly where you are, all that stuff. And they sell that to, that's valuable for them for advertising. It's something we can't compete with because we don't know any of that stuff. So the Amazon clearly wants that, but it's ad free, right? So I don't understand. They're not putting ads in there, but I guess this is where it's tough for Spotify to compete because Spotify's business is the subscriptions. Amazon's business is a lot of other stuff. If they can get you to buy Amazon Prime, because you get video, you get free podcast, you know, ad-free podcasts, you get 100 million songs. That's all good for their, that's the flywheel for their other businesses. This is why it's hard to compete with Apple and Amazon, because their main business isn't the music. So Spotify's kind of also stuck between a rock and a hard place. It scares me because now I worry our listeners are going to say, well, I don't want any ads, so I'm going to listen on Amazon Prime, or I'm going to listen on Spotify, and it's hard for us to survive. So, or not, I shouldn't say us. It's hard for independent RSS-based podcasts to make their way. There are plenty of them, but it's going to get harder and harder to make money at it.
This is Dave Weiner's cry. The man who co-invented podcasts is taking them away from RSS. Ain't podcasting.
Yeah, it's not. There's some evidence, by the way, that Joe Rogan lost. Well, he lost influence, so they're saying that means he probably lost listeners when he went exclusive on Spotify.
Howard Stern lost listeners, but made a friggin' fortune.
Yeah, I would trade influence for money.
Yeah, as did Joe. Well, it's fine for Joe, but the question is, did Spotify kind of think they were going to bring his whole audience over? They still charge, I'm told, $1 million for an ad on Joe Rogan.
Jeez. Ooh. Man. How to ruin your brand in one check.
Well, I don't know who's...
I know,
who's,
Leo. I know. Let's all give
audience.
Leo... Breathe, Leo. Breathe.
Well, it's one of the reasons we're really begging people at this point. We're pulling a PBS and begging people to subscribe to Club Twit, because if we're going to survive...
And grateful.
And we're very grateful. We crossed 5,000 members. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
We need maybe a lot more than that to to survive if advertising goes away. This is always the threat, and I've always said this in the last, we've been doing this since 2004 was my first podcast. This show little later, but I've been doing it for, you know, 17 years. And I've always said the only thing that can kill us is if nobody listens. Thank you for listening. Or nobody buys ads. And either one could literally just, we'd have to turn off the lights. Either one. Fortunately, the audience, in fact, the audience has been growing since COVID for some reason. I'm not sure why. Thank you. But the advertisers are going the other direction. And I think some of it is because of competition on both sides, from ad-free podcasts on Amazon and ad tracking from Spotify. Anyway, all of which is to say it really helps if you pay $7 a month. I don't like paywalls either.
Cheaper than Twitter's going to be.
Cheaper than Twitter, right? Blue. Yeah.
But you know, pay more if they want, by the way.
We've added that feature. There's a slider if you want to add, but you don't have to. And I also really understand that not everybody can afford that. Mm-hmm. And if money's tight, and God knows it is these days,
yep,
we'll still offer the podcasts for free, ad-supported, as long as we can. I mean, obviously, if all the advertisers go away, I don't know. What do we do then, Ant? I don't know.
You start working for Henry.
I won't say on Mike.
If you see me at some point slathering mustard.
I have ideas, but they probably shouldn't be said on the air.
Okay, you and I, we should talk. Let's talk. It's not going to be NFTs, is it?
No, sir. No.
Amazon did fire half the staff. Actually, this I thought was a really good idea. They created something called AMP. I bet you never heard of this. Their idea was radio on the internet. They were hoping DJs and others would use AMP. They pay the license fees for the music, so you can go on there and create a show. They had lots of live shows. Unfortunately, they didn't. I don't think they had an app. I think you had to do it on the web. Oh, no, they did have an app in beta. But the idea was they would bring radio people over. They've been promoting an F1 show. They've said, turn down the audio. This was a, by the way, hopeless cause. If you're watching the Formula One race, turn down the audio and listen to Jesus and some woman on AMP doing their play-by-play. That's not going to happen because people into Formula One are into
right.
The Formula One, it's lights out, it's wrong.
Right. Man, you know, when those Crofty lights go out, it's the best daggum 2 minutes in sports. Right,
exactly.
Oh, gosh, I love it.
So anyway, I guess it's not been a huge success. Amazon has cut 150 people, which is about half the division. An Amazon spokesperson said, at Amazon, we think big. Experiment and invest in new ideas to delight customers. This is an email I sent to GeekWire. We also continually evaluate the progress and potential of our products and services to deliver customer value, and we regularly make adjustments based on those assessments. Following a recent review, made the decision to consolidate a few teams so we could focus on growth and scaling of AMP. I'm a little disappointed. I thought this might be something pretty cool, but I don't think they really promoted it. Had any of you heard of AMP?
No, that's the thing. We talked about the show, I think, and then completely forgot about it.
Yeah.
Gone out of the head.
Yeah. That's kind of too bad.
So were you referring, Ant, to the guy on NASCAR who went up on the wall?
No. In Formula One, I can't think of the announcer's name.
F1 is different than NASCAR.
Oh, okay, right.
Oh, yeah. Don't, please. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I'm just going to stop you right there, Jeff.
All the Southerners are coming at you right now, sir.
Did you see the Ross Chastain thing on NASCAR, though?
No.
I did not.
You can play without sound, Leo. I think it'll be safe.
Really? You sure?
No.
Chastain?
I'm pulling up 79.
The most NASCAR thing ever.
It really is.
Ross Chastain driving the red and black car. Picks up 5 places to qualify the winner-take-all NASCAR 2022 Cup Series Championship in Phoenix on November 6th with the most Hollywood move I've ever seen. All right, let me see if I can play this. Can I? I think I shouldn't play the sound.
No, you don't play the sound. You don't need to play the sound.
Okay.
Don't play the sound.
There she is in car one there.
No, you're going to see.
On the red. Look at here. She's
this is at Phoenix?
Scraping the side.
That's the point.
Playoffs.
That was the cool thing.
She's getting around the. Wait a minute.
No, you get the wrong video. Go to the other video. You want the wrong video, Leo.
Well, they're happy about it.
Have it on.
Didn't she scrape? Wasn't that good?
Yeah, the whole point was she went up on the wall, floored it into fifth gear, took her hands off the steering wheel, and let the wall do it on the outside. Because I think learned it in like a video game or something. It was pretty amazing if you had the right video, which I should have found.
To just guide.
It's a guy, by the way, not a woman.
It's a guy. That's what I thought it was. You were saying her.
Oh, I was saying her? Because I thought you said Roz.
No. Ross. Chastain. Ross so, Chastain.
Hold on. So he rode the wall, essentially?
Yes.
Doesn't that slow you down?
No, that's the point. It didn't. The physics trick that led to the incredible NASCAR trick on Big Think.
Here we go.
I need to see this.
Here we go. Let's play
it's
it
pretty
off.
Pretty amazing.
This is for a bird's eye too. Point of view.
Is that Bristol? Martinsville?
Look at that. How did that help him?
He didn't win, but he qualified. He beat some people out of the qualifications.
It looks like he went off the track.
I've
never seen anything like
80.
That before in my life.
Go to line 80. You'll see a better view.
But Chastain explained he played a lot of NASCAR on the GameCube.
Bingo. That's the thing that's interesting. That's our angle.
Classic.
And I could play this audio. He's talking about it.
On the GameCube with Chad growing up, and you could get away with it. And I never knew if it would actually work. And I did that when I was 8 years old. And
yeah, watch that.
So now, So on the GameCube, you can do this. It seems dangerous.
Yeah. See what he did? Yeah, he just kept fifth gear and kept going.
Okay.
Wow.
So
I'm not a NASCAR guy at all, but this was fun.
Yeah, no, there was a lot of coverage of this. I saw it. Again, the trick is play more video games. I think that's
I see.
Video and if you get into Parsons, learn how to make fashions in the digital world.
I guess it makes sense.
Fashion
that's Martinsville. Because Martinsville, the big key for that race is always brakes, keeping the brakes cool. And he totally eliminated the brake problem.
Yep.
Your door got pretty hot, but the brakes are nice and cool.
Wow.
Yeah, the car that's afterwards, you know, you can see the scrapes on it, obviously, but yeah.
Okay. I mean, I drive like that in regular life, but no one gives me a medal for it. In fact, my husband gets really upset.
All right, let's do a little Google changelog thing, if you don't mind here.
The Google changelog.
Google had its AI day, and they announced a bunch of AI stuff. They're going to have, you know, they're watching OpenAI and Stable Diffusion and Midjourney with these AI-generated art. So they're going to start doing a text-to-image thing called Imagen. It's very limited public outing. This is in the Test Kitchen app. So, in fact, all the stuff I'm going to talk about is in the Test Kitchen app.
Very limited.
Yeah. So it's using Lambda. We talked about Lambda, right? The same one that...
The one that was going to take over.
Yeah. And it's going to be adding constrained image and requests as part of what it calls a season 2 update to the app. Here is City Dreamer. Yeah, that's terrible. Looks like Material Design.
Yeah.
I have to install, my assignment this weekend is to install a Stable Diffusion on my computer at home. We're going to try this. I hope it works.
I'm going to Adobe had some type of plugin for Photoshop.
You and I will compete.
I want to play around with it too.
So, because what we want to do is have our Christmas card this year. You know, last year it was we did a Zoom Christmas card. This year we want to have a Stable Diffusion Christmas card.
So 2 years ago we did the Zoom. Last year we did the Metaverse.
Oh, that's right. We were in the. Had no legs.
Right.
So we're trying to do trendy. So this year we're going to do, we'll have to take a real picture, right? I'm going to try it with the last year's or a couple of years ago card with real people. See if I can make it look good. I think I'm going to use the image to image plugin, which takes an image and then makes a image. And I might, because you could do it Disney style. You could do it Rakowski style. You got various styles. But you do it with Photoshop too. Let's see which one.
Yeah, I'm going to see what happens with
I'm
mine.
Definitely
or
not
we can
doing
just
the,
punt and just take the, you know, office shot.
Well, that was we were thinking of doing a drone thing. Yeah, I don't know. Here's Wobble. Imagine a monster using Google's text-to-image models.
Dorky.
Yeah. Sorry, Google. Too little, too late.
It's gone way past, you know. They're trying to be so safe. They don't want to have another Lambda.
Yeah. The problem is these aren't safe, and there are all sorts of issues. But that's, you know, that's part of the fun of it. Google's AI is also doing your writing for you. They invited a bunch of...
Watch it, Google.
Bunch of writers in to try WordCraft, a, quote, magic text editor. This is the article from The Verge. I have to say, I'm not... Victoria Song gave us some examples. I was very underwhelmed. I started by giving WordCraft the prompt, penguins swimming. It then generated a few different story ideas. Might be good there, like if you're blocked. And because I love baby animals, I went with a mother penguin sitting on her eggs. From Poor there, dorky. I could tell WordCraft to either continue the story, add another prompt, or talk to a chatbot for more ideas. I opted to highlight the eggs and had WordCraft offer more description. The results were all sorts of surreal. One described the eggs as having a leathery texture, but I went with the option where they were the size of grapefruits and covered in downy feathers. Never mind the fact that eggs covered in feathers aren't really a thing. At one point, I did have WordCraft shorten a lengthy continuation to a single sentence, as well as have the chatbot generate some conflict, hence the seal eating mama penguin's babies. The mother penguin tries to fight back, but it's no match for the seal's sharp teeth. The baby eggs are eaten. The mother penguin cries out in grief. She hears a loud splash and looks up. Her baby has been... I thought you ate the baby. Her baby's been thrown into the water by the seal. The baby is struggling to stay afloat in the cold ocean. The mother penguin dives into the water. She grabs her baby and her beak and swims to shore. She wraps her wings around the baby and huddles next to it.
Oh, this is so dorky.
Well, I mean, it's impressive that a computer wrote it, right?
But yes, it is. Yes.
It's not great writing.
No.
As you can see from the final product, Victoria says, the writing is fairly basic. There are also a lot of things that contradict. The baby eggs are eaten, but then a baby is floating in the ocean and rescued, despite the fact that it never actually hatched. Anyway, I think you're safe, you writers, for a little bit longer. Whew.
Do you have the same? So
maybe that's
I'm
James Joyce.
That'd
be interesting.
If there were a prompt to say write about baby penguins a la James Joyce,
that would fit right in.
Then we'd have something. Yes, the mother penguin said. Yes, yes, I want to have a baby. I'm going to jump in the ocean. Yes, she said. Google is discontinuing support for the standalone Street View app, pulling it from app stores. Add another one to the Google graveyard.
Sure.
You still have Street View in Maps, so right. I guess you don't need a dedicated Street View app.
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah. But, you know, Google One for Android. This is about as minor a thing. In fact, I think I had this last week and decided not to do it. Google One for Android gets a slick home screen redesign.
Yeah.
Woo! This shows how hard it is for 9-to-5 Google to find something to get excited about and for Leo to find something for the changelog. Google, this is new and exciting. Google expands its flood and wildfire tracking. Who says climate change isn't real? They launched a tool called Flood Hub, which patches together forecasting across 20 countries. It's also rolling out improved wildfire tracking after piloting the program in the U.S. So apparently, according to the United Nations, half the world lacks adequate early warning systems for disasters like flood and fire. Yeah. So this will be a big thing. Expanding our machine language.
If they have mobile phones.
Yeah. Or if your friend has a, you know, everybody run! Expanding our ML-based flood forecasting. Oh, I guess the green dots are where you could expect flooding. So that's good. That's useful. So that's the Flood Hub. Yeah, probably less useful in the U.S. Google has added... Well, we have floods and wildfires here, but I think we know.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we kind of know. Google revamps its assistance parental controls, adds a kids dictionary. No more poop! Available in the coming weeks through the Google Assistant, Google Home, and Family Link apps for Android and iOS. You can
What? No more poop?
You maybe there will be poop. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was like, I'm sorry. What?
An update will let you disable some assistant features, restrict the services children can use, establish downtime hours, bar kids from making calls, or limit them to watching YouTube Kids on a Nest Hub. It's adding a kids dictionary to Assistant that provides age-suitable answers on speakers, displays, and mobile devices. If your young one asks what a telescope is, you'll get a simple explanation rather than a discussion of optics and electromagnetic radiation. There are also four new kid-friendly voices that are slower, more expressive, and otherwise better matched to childhood development. Did I do that right?
Not creepy at all.
No. If you've noticed, maybe you haven't, but if you go do a search on the Google homepage, you will now be able to drag an image right to the Google search. They're putting Google Lens on the homepage.
Okay.
That's cool. Clicking the Lens button. Well, actually, let me show you. I think I've got it. Let's see. Yeah. You click this little Lens button here in the search window. And you can search any image with Google Lens. It'll translate text. It'll tell you what the image is. It'll find out, you know, it'll find similar images. All
Let's
that stuff.
See.
You want? Why don't you try something?
I don't trust it. We'll see.
Are you doing it right now?
Well, I'm attempting.
Man, I leave for like a month and I came back and you're like just angsty, Ant. You're right. You're jaded.
Angsty. He's angsty. All right.
It's not loading for some reason. Never mind.
Let me see what I can.
Slow internet.
Let me see if I have,
and you're breaking everything.
Yeah, clearly.
I wish I had some pictures here that I could.
Okay, now that loaded. Let me just go to the picture folder and grab this. Drag on. Survey says it's just slow.
Your computer's messy.
I think it's not the internet.
Let me take a picture of let's do this. I'm gonna export this. Find a video of my son's French fries.
Nice.
Download that.
That doesn't look amazing. Whatever.
All right. Slow-mo French fries. Look at that. Slow.
Videography, baby.
Slow-mo is my videography. He's the opposite of slow-mo in his stuff. All right, so I got that.
Why did he pick up one, put it down, and pick up another one? I'm confused.
He did it in real time. It happened a lot faster than you seeing. Oh, crud. I can't.
Maybe it wasn't the right size.
I can't upload a video. Yeah. Yeah, I can't do a video, so never mind.
Well, mine just finally returned, and it says that it's University of Louisville football players.
Was that correct?
No, it's not. It's actually my son's team. But they both were red and white.
So? Yeah?
You try.
Yeah? All right, let's see.
Never mind the fact that my son's team is right on the front of the jersey here that I uploaded.
Couldn't read the text. All right, I'm going to download these flowers. What kind of flowers are those? I'm wondering.
That's usually me right there.
Don't tell
what this is. Fuck.
No hints. Let's see. Let's see if Google can figure out what it is. It says it's geranium ivy.
Oh, okay.
Is that right?
Is that correct?
I didn't know if it was bougainvillea.
I don't know if that. Well, it does look awfully close.
Oh, a lot of examples there that look like it. They look good.
That looks like it.
I find this works amazingly.
And by the way, it sends me to burpee.com to buy some. Seeds.
By the seeds, the right?
Ticket. Yeah. So that's cool. So you know what? That's a cool feature. So I take a picture of something. Not only do I know what it is, but I can now buy some seeds if I want to.
This is the long-awaited feature. That you're going to watch a TV show, and when you want the outfit, you click on it. Everybody thought smart TV was going to be over the years.
It's here.
Yeah. I used to have that for plants. I have something called PlantNet that does it only for plants.
Yeah, I have that as well, and I have it for birds. and Birds. For a variety of stuff, right? But it's cool that it's right there in Google now. So that worked really well. It figured out what it was.
And goodbye, PlantNet.
Goodbye, PlantNet. We hardly knew you. Yep. It's a calliope, dark red germanium. No, that's not a germanium.
It's like, God, have I been saying that wrong my whole life? Okay.
Only if you're talking about the table of elements. Google Play Android games now available on your PC. It's an open beta. It allows you to run up
PC
to 80.
PC or Chromebook?
PC.
Ugh.
PC.
That's progress, right?
It'll even sync progress between the PCs and the mobile. So that's interesting. You need Windows 10.
But we got that.
You need Windows 10. Microsoft. Oh, this is interesting. Oh, no. Yeah. See, so Microsoft, which has added Android apps to Windows 11, did it with the Amazon App Store, which is. But Google has its own separate app to bring Google Play games to the PC. So they said, hold my beer. YouTube has added YouTube TV. No, YouTube has added, this is the regular YouTube, has added new primetime channels, 34 streaming services, including Showtime, that you can subscribe to on YouTube. Paramount Plus, YouTube. Stars.
Interesting.
HBO no there? HBO. No, weirdly, no HBO. Couldn't make a deal, obviously. The Great Courses, that's cool. Primetime channels will not get preferential treatment in recommendations or search results. But
did they mention a price point there?
No,
because all of the streaming services are pretty much adding those are having those as add-ons. You know, $5 here, $10 there.
If you go to YouTube and the movie and shows selection, pick a movie. What would you like to?
Maverick,
Top Gun. This is good.
Yeah, love that.
Watch this movie on YouTube. Buy or rent. So here's the trailer. You know, I read an article. You know that scene where Tom Cruise gets fed up with his recruits and says, I'm going to show you how to do this low flying through the valley? That scene right there?
Yes.
The pilot who flew Tom Cruise was in the back seat for the shots. The pilot who flew Tom Cruise, a naval aviator, said, I'm never doing that again. They said, we got the shot. He said, God, thank God, I'm never doing that again.
It was awesome, though.
It was.
And by the way, that Goose's son sort of reminds me of Salt Hank in this movie.
Well, that's good because I remind you of Goose, right?
No.
There, he looked a lot like Goose, didn't he? It's because he had that mustache, the cheesy mustache. Yeah. Anyway, let's see. I'm looking at the.
Did it give you a price?
Yeah, I can buy or rent. It's probably the same price as everywhere else. Yeah, $7.99 UHD, $5.99 HD, $4.99 SD, or buy it.
You know, Amazon doesn't give you the choice of SD anymore, I don't think.
Oh, really?
I think they just, well, maybe I'm just picking, like, look, let's go to Amazon.
You could get every show we do ad-free for a month for a buck less. Than renting Top Gun Maverick for, 24 hours or whatever it is.
That's your new, cheaper than Twitter, cheaper than Top Gun.
Cheaper than Top Gun.
That's your
in
new.
In HD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Ultra HD. HD.
Ultra.
Yeah, right? And Amazon Prime is not offering the standard def. It's UHD only showing up for me.
Well, who would want SD, right? Maybe. I don't know. You know,
I don't have a UHD TV.
That's true.
I'd but be you have pissed an HD. About paying for
You have an HD TV, for sure.
I don't know the difference.
You don't have an SD.
Yes, you do.
Maybe your phone or
your
something.
Your TV's not square.
Right. Your TV's
okay, that's true.
Rectangular. So.
Is it from Zenith?
That is true. You're right, Jeff.
Does it have little rabbit ears on top of it?
Does it weigh 300 pounds?
There's cathode ray tubes back there.
Google is building
when we turn it on.
Package. So how many times has this happened to you? You get an email on your Gmail saying your package is on the way. And you click the link and it takes you out to UPS or FedEx and you got to go to their site. Not anymore. Right now, starting now, you can see it right in your Gmail. How about that?
That's great. Yay. Wasn't Google Now like that years ago?
How lazy.
Yep, I think so.
How lazy.
And I love that. I didn't have to go and check stuff.
All right. You like that? Okay.
Because it read like, my email and it gave me a notification of it, what was going on.
Yeah, look at this. Oh, yeah. This is
I'm
actually.
Glad I had that back.
I wonder if they mind. I wonder if UPS probably doesn't mind this, right? But this is all the information you get. It's order placed. It's in transit. It's on the truck.
I love the Amazon one where it tells you how many stops away they are.
I love that.
Yeah. Amazon's cool.
9 stops away. Yeah.
Amazon
doesn't put that information in their emails anymore, so Google can't get it, I don't think.
Oh, I
saw
right.
Dan from right. The Verge talk about that.
Yeah. You watching somebody else's show these days?
No.
It was on Twitter.
Dan? Who's this Dan that you talk about?
This is Dan Fellow.
Who's Dan?
What, Stacey?
Are you seeing another podcaster? And that's the Google Change Log.
That awkward silence.
I'm just like, I don't even know what to do with that.
I've been wondering where you've been all these weeks. Now I know.
This is why I didn't come back.
You've been with Dan, haven't you?
I've been in Iowa with John Deere.
Oh, did you go to Iowa to do a John Deere event?
Oh, okay.
Did you give him a hard time about right to repair?
Did I not tell you about my John Deere trip? Have
no,
I not
you
been
did
here?
Not.
No,
you did not.
That's how long you've been. Oh. You've left us.
My God. Okay, I'll make that my thing of the week, and then, well,
I want your thing too, though. You've got a good thing.
Okay. All right. Here's the John Deere trip. I went because they had me talk, or they gave me exclusive tour of their plant in Moline, Indiana.
I bet that was fun.
Oh my God, it was the best thing ever.
Did you get to go in those living room sized combine
harvesters? You got to stop for a second. I'm going to tell you everything cool. And I'm going to try to do it real fast.
No, don't hurry.
Okay.
It's all right.
So I came, and if you want to throw the link in there to my story, you can, because self-promotion. But
good.
They're building their own 5G network. So anybody who's a giant nerd like me, and then we'll talk about tractors because that's also cool.
Right, we talked about this on the show, and I want to know how this would work. I'm so glad you did this. Ooh.
They bought their own spectrum in 2020 at the CBRS auction. So, and then they called a cellular equipment company, probably Ericsson or Nokia. They won't tell me which. And they said, hey, we've got spectrum. We want to build our own private 5G network inside of our factories, which covers like 4 million square feet. Okay.
Dude.
So, and then they did it with an LTE. So it's not 5G yet because it's not out. The end equipment isn't there. Okay. So now they own their spectrum. They built their own network. They hired like 20% more people in their Wi-Fi and IT division, basically their wireless IT division. And they were like, go learn about cellular networking. And they did. And they're running it just like their AT&T or somebody like that, except it's only a smaller network in that one area. Oh. So pretty awesome. Very cool. They're expecting to run like thousands of sensors on it. They wouldn't let me take pictures except for these two things. So I didn't get to cool factory stuff.
So this thing on this bar here is a microcell.
That is an LTE microcell.
And
they've got 14.
That's all.
And it replaces 100 Wi-Fi access
points.
Wow.
And they can throw way more sensors on it. They also have much better latency. Apparently Wi-Fi, factories are really terrible for Wi-Fi because there's big metal devices running around.
Aha. Uh-huh.
But also he was like, when our employees would start their microwave during lunch hours, our Wi-Fi network would go crazy.
Yeah.
And I was like, but that's not even. So I was like, okay. So there's a lot of interference. Now they can control that. And it's pretty awesome. And they're going to upgrade it to 5G. In June, the 3GPP, which is the governing body for the 5G standard, they released something called Release 17. And basically, it has a lot of things associated with latency. It has device location associated with it. So all the factory deployments are going to start happening now that that's out in the world and people are starting to make end devices. Because right now, like in their test labs, they've got like dongle. It's like dongle nation because they can only get the 5G for like dongles just shoved into everything. So annoying. It's like a MacBook. Okay. So that's the 5G story. And
3 million
awesome.
Square foot factories served by 14 LTE microcells. I wonder if they plan to put those out in farms, in farm fields at some point, like become a specialized 5G network for farm equipment. That's an
interesting
idea.
They can't because they only bought five. the way they only bought spectrum in five geographic areas, the five counties that they operate in. Okay. So they do have it outdoors. They have a test track outside of that factory and they will put it there. But
well, actually, you don't have to create your own. I guess you could sign up with whoever the incumbent is in that in your area and use that. Yeah.
Okay, so that's it. Now, do you want to know the coolest thing I learned?
Yes.
Okay. I need y'all to understand that the factory where I go, they make these machines are 50,000 pounds. Okay. They are huge. It's a combine, massive. Which is called a combine because it combines like 20 something operations. So massive machines. And we did not talk about right to repair. I am aware and I have opinions on it and they are not favorable to John Deere, but this was not a factory tour. It was not a software analysis tour. And I've talked to them about right to repair. I'm just going to let everybody know because I know people are like, John Deere, right to repair. True. That's not a bad idea. Okay. But the factory tour starts. They have these giant shelves and on them are just sheets of metal. Just sheets of metal. And the first step is these robots pull off this thing into a CNC kind of, it's a laser cutting machine actually. And they just cut like every freaking part. There are, did I say my story how many parts there were? I don't remember.
Yeah, that's what Tesla does too. They bend their own metal.
Yeah, it's like
they cut their
18,000 pieces.
Yeah. So,
and at the end, you get this tractor that is enormous. Like I come up halfway to the wheel on this thing.
I know. It's amazing.
It's ridiculous. And then they have in the factory, so they're building it all together. It goes through all these many millions of square feet. And then they have a gantry that runs up the top and they pull the tractor along a gantry over your heads when it gets done. So then you know how they paint it green?
How?
They have 11 Olympic-sized swimming pools. So, 9 of them are filled with water, and they just dip.
What? Dip. They dip the thing into the parts or the whole? They just dip the parts.
The whole thing? All of the tractor.
Wow.
Like all the green bits. And then they come and spray paint. Like it's not every, but it's a massive.
Feeder house.
That thing's massive.
Oh, massaging seats.
Oh, yeah. Well,
we have people listening to our podcasts in these giant combines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're there for like 15 hours a day when they're harvesting.
Exactly.
They drive themselves. Yeah. And John Deere built their own factory operation software, which if you're in industrial, like instead of buying something from like Siemens or Schneider or Rockwell or anybody, they built their own. They just do everything. So it's pretty cool. Okay,
thanks,
yeah, the body.
Thanks to youtube.com/tractorspotter for this informative video.
This is pretty awesome.
It's pretty cool. I want one.
Yeah, I mean, look at those things. That's the X9. That's what they make there.
Yeah. No, that's why I picked it. That's cool.
So it's
not even the biggest combine they make. I mean, they make even bigger ones. It's kind of amazing. And they dip it in pools. That's hysterical.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they're big. And then they do have a spray like for other parts and spray. And Chumley did point out that they don't dip the whole tractor. It's a big body, but it's a lot. Like obviously the tires are not.
Yeah. Look, it's got tractor. It's got a tank tread. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
These things are awesome.
I'm going to watch more of this YouTube channel, by the way. It's all tractors.
Yeah, dude.
Tractor spotter.
Appreciate you putting that in the show notes.
It's kind of amazing. Everything you could ever want is on a YouTube channel. And all I do is search for that model, and there you have it.
And Eric Duckman's saying, go to other factories. They do this. I do. I love going on factory tours. Like every time I go someplace, everyone's like, you want to see my data center? And I'm like, no, show me where you make stuff. It's so much better.
Yeah. Thank you, Stacy, for that report direct from Michigan.
No.
Moline. Moline. Moline.
It's at the corner of Indiana and Iowa. I thought it was in Iowa. Iowa's across the river. I didn't know.
I used to be
in
Iowa.
The Moline Airport.
Moline is Iowa.
Wait a minute. I thought you grew up in New Jersey. Yes. On the tomato.
Moline is Indiana.
I went to 4 elementary schools in 3 states and 4 high schools in 3 states.
So you didn't.
And my father got out of the military, so we wouldn't move, but he was in sales, so we moved.
Oh, it's Illinois.
Moline,
it's not Indiana.
Yeah, Moline, Illinois.
That's what I was going to say. Jeez. Okay. Thank you.
You know,
you said you were in Iowa, then you said you were in Indiana, but you were actually in Illinois.
With you,
she's the heartland.
Left coast, exactly. At journalists, it's all flyover states to you, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's all the same.
Well, originally, I thought it was in Iowa because it's across the river from Iowa. And I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was
where
from
am I? It doesn't matter. Actually,
he was from Moline, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm going to Moline, but I've never been to that state. So it's really cool." He's like, "You've never been to Chicago?" And I'm like, "Oh, wait, it's in Illinois,
same state. Yeah, yeah.
Bless you.
You'd never know." Was Dan with you, the podcaster? Was he there?
Oh, Dan, my secret podcaster that I podcast with. Yes,
John, and she disclosed in this article, John Deere did play for your hotel room. I hope it was a nice hotel room anyway.
I paid for my, because I was doing
flights.
A talk.
You did your flights.
Yeah, I did my flights and everything else, my car, but they
it's
just
appropriate to disclose. They were like, right. And if we
there's
thought
apparently,
you sold out as that cheap, I mean, come on, we know you're not, we got.
They did give me a hat and a thing of kettle corn, and the kettle corn was delicious.
I'll take the kettle corn. How big was
the hat?
The hat's actually the hat I got at CES like 3 years ago. But
I have a John Deere green hat. We have a.
Oh, I have one of those too.
We have a friend of the family, Sean, who comes over to a family events driving his tractor. And
it's like the upstate of South Kakilaki.
It's kind of like Kakilaki. Yeah. I have some pictures of Lisa in the Kubota.
The dog shit.
There she gone. There we go. In her Yeah, that's Sean's tractor. He drives that to anytime he's going anywhere. And that's the wonderful thing about Petaluma is you can get stuck on a road driving 5 miles an hour behind a giant tractor, and that's the way it
does
is.
Does he actually farm, or is this a conceit?
Is it a pretentious vehicle that he owns?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I think he uses it.
I think for what? It. You think
for
he
beer,
does?
For beer runs.
For beer runs. Hey, I want to talk about a new sponsor, somebody I've used for years and years and years, as Truebill. Truebill is now Rocket Money, and it's even better. Now, we all have subscriptions, like many, many subscriptions in our lives, right? And the problem with these subscriptions, they renew automatically every month, and it starts to add up. Rocket Money makes it easy for you to find subscriptions and cancel them. 80% of people have subscriptions they just completely forgot about. Maybe it's an unused Amazon Prime account or a Hulu account that never gets streamed or, you know. And the thing is, if you can get a list of those and see, it's very easy to say, well, no, I don't want to pay for that anymore. This app is the way to find out what you're paying for, track all your expenses, and cancel subscriptions you don't use. I don't know how much money over the years I've been using this that it saved me hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month. Rocket Money. Now, if you've used Truebill, in fact, I had Truebill on my phone and it turned into Rocket Money. It'll do that automatically. But if you've never used it, get it. It's fantastic. First thing you're going to do is install this iOS or Android and see. You'll hook it up to your check accounts, your various accounts. It uses Plaid to do that. So, you know, it's absolutely secure. And then it will, as time goes by and it sees those subscriptions come in, it will add them to a list and you can get rid of them. When they poll Americans, they ask people, what do you think you're spending on subscriptions? The average number people say is $80 a month, $80 a month. And the truth is, it's closer to $200 or more. People don't know. That's the problem. And they know that. The people who do the subscriptions, they know that. You could be wasting hundreds of dollars a month on subscriptions you forgot. Magazines, newspapers, food, it goes on and on and on. The Rocket Money app shows all the subscriptions in one place. Click a button, it cancels it for you. You don't even have to go to the site. It just does it for you. It can find subscriptions you didn't even know you were paying for. If you're being double charged, it'll find that. And it tells you, it's great. It says, you've been paying for this for a while. To cancel a subscription, you press cancel. Rocket Money takes care of the rest. I loved this. I've been using Truebill for years. When they converted to Rocket Money, I like it even more because Rocket Money now tells me more about my financial status, how much money I have, what my net worth is, all of this stuff. It's really great. I think this is a great product. Get rid of useless subscriptions with Rocket Money right now. Go to rocketmoney.com/twig. It could save you hundreds a year. There's really no reason not to, right? There's no reason not to. Rocketmoney.com/twig. And if you had Truebill in the past and you were paying for it and you forgot about it, you might want to just open your phone and say, oh, it's Rocket Money now. I love it. Rocket Money. If you don't have it, my goodness, get it. Rocketmoney.com/twig. It is fantastic. I'm just logging in. I can show you, tell you right now. I got to get the update. But I could see my recurring stuff. I could see all my subscriptions. Let me see. Upcoming subscriptions. Oh, my God. I'm paying for Skype? Let's stop that right now. Amazon Prime, Audible, Bloomberg Business, CNP Magazines. What is that? Consumer Reports, Dropbox, Easy News, Elysium, Health Fast, Spring, GoDaddy, Google Cloud, Google Domains. I think I should cancel some of these, don't you? You should too. Rocketmoney.com. Wow. I didn't realize I was still paying for that. Let's get rid of that. Cancel it right here. Rocketmoney.com/twig. Cancel that one. I won't say the name out loud. Cancel this for me. Big button right there. How about that? Rocketmoney.com/twig. Cancel your unnecessary subscriptions. You'll find a lot of other uses for it. It's a really great utility for just seeing what you spend, where your money goes, for budgeting, for knowing what your net worth is, and on and on and on. Rocketmoney.com/twig. Fantastic. Fantastic. I love it. Don't cancel your Club Twit subscription, however.
Dude, the look on your face when you saw...
Okay, I won't say it was. It's a toothpaste subscription.
It's like, what is this?
Why am I getting that?
Oh, the stuff that you buy, jeez.
Oh, well, I'm the worst. I am absolutely the use case for Rocket Money. I really am. I really love this company. I'm so glad that they. This is, I think, their first ad for us. I'm thrilled to have them.
Thank you, Rocket Money.
Yeah.
Thank you.
They're really great. It's the same people that do Rocket Mortgage. Yeah. So I guess Rocket Mortgage acquired Truebill and now they're Rocket Money. Love it. Good job. We've always loved Rocket Mortgage. Great company. All right. Now I think we should wrap it up, with Stacy's pick of the week. I've been waiting for this review.
Yes. So, and I didn't do this one. Kevin did it. But I trust Kevin, obviously.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Just in case. He reviewed the Google Nest Wi-Fi 6E. I always want to add, like, this is the latest one. This is the glossy Tic Tac, I believe.
Yes.
I think we talked about it.
Oh, yeah. It is a glossy Tic Tac. There's his Tic Tac.
Next to his Eero.
and a Wyze base station. So he's got three different products. Comparable products to review, so that's cool.
Well, the Wyze base station's probably plugged.
Oh, that's
in
not Wi-Fi. So, that's for his Wyze stuff. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, but so his to sum up, Kevin, who is a very generous reviewer, like Kevin feels like there's probably a market for this product somewhere. Would probably be Kevin's summary of his reviewing thesis. So. He compared it to the Eero 6s that he was running, and he didn't see any significant speed boost, which you would expect because 6E is a third chunk of airwaves that the FCC has allocated for Wi-Fi. It's fairly new. They launched it in 2020.
Wait a minute. He says he does have two devices that support 6E, and those are 15% and 20% faster.
Yes. Yeah. So he did see modest speed boosts on those, but most people don't have those devices yet.
Yes, unless you have a 6E compatible device, you won't see anything. Yeah, yeah.
You won't see. Well, you'll see the wireless LAN does use 6E between those devices. So the backhaul between your routers will be faster. But that's kind of negligible, neither here nor there. Yeah. Most people don't care. He didn't see big improvements on the 6, Wi-Fi 6. But if you were on Wi-Fi 5, which is what Google's last Wi-Fi product was, you should upgrade because you're going to see speed improvements there. And from a smart home perspective, which is what we care about, no change because there's not going to be 6E smart home devices for a considerable amount of time, like 5 years, because they don't need it. And yeah, what else do y'all want to know? Oh, this is the best part. Google is putting in a lot of subscription stuff. Sorry, Google is putting a lot of features that in other programs are subscriptions, such as like parental monitoring and downtime or shutting off your kids' wireless. I believe some security features are also going to be part of that. Some of these features, I know that I would pay like $99 now for an Eero subscription for a year.
Right. That's for Eero Pro. Right. Right.
Yeah. And Eero got rid of their cheaper one. So now that's your only option is Eero Pro 6.
Interesting.
Or Eero Pro. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
No, it's called Secure Plus.
How is it as a home automation router? Because that's part of it. It's got Thread, right?
Well, he couldn't test Thread. There's no Thread. It's not appearing on his. He has several Thread networks in his house, and he looks at them through the Eve app because they have a lovely cheat sheet there. Mm-hmm. And none of that is happening for him yet. So it's not a home automation hub. It's not even a border router yet. These are for the price, they're pretty good, and they have are nice.
I bought the original Google Mesh routers and was very underwhelmed with them at the time.
Were you just basing it off speed?
The Eero was the standard,
speed,
right?
Reliability, QoS. But I tell you, it's hard to review Wi-Fi. God bless Kevin. It's a very hard thing to review. But just empirically and putting it, I installed it for my daughter, a few family members and stuff, and was underwhelmed. Eero was much better. Orbi better still for speed, but Eero had better features. So Google, I'm not surprised to hear this isn't like, I thought maybe it would be, hey, this is their new pro, but I'm kind of underwhelmed. It sounds like Kevin was as well.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, look, for normal people, it would probably be fine, especially if you're coming up. Like, I have family members who are still running like Wi-Fi 4.
Right.
And, you know, at the price point, this is really good. Kevin's network or his home layout makes it so he needed all three of them, even though his square footage is not.
So he paid $400 for the three pack.
Yeah. But like what were my Eero Pro 6.
Euros are more expensive. A three pack of Eero, I think, is more than 300. I'm sorry, 400. He spent 400. Pardon me.
Yeah. So the Eero Pro 6E, which would be the comparable one, a three pack, well, they're on sale now, but they were selling for $699. They're on sale right now for $419.
Okay. So that is pretty close in price. $20 more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. The Orbis are faster. You tend to see from the more traditional vendors, they're still competing on speeds. But I will say, you know, I have a gigabit network. I don't need my stuff to be super fast. Other than my television, like most of my devices on my home, the latency matters more to me.
That's right.
Than capacity.
That's right. And that's what all of these mesh routers, especially the Eero, are designed to do, is to prioritize the devices that need consistent throughput and low latency, and you know, and to understand that. And that's one of the reasons you pay for that. It's the Eero Security. What do they call it now?
It's Secure Plus. The subscription. Okay.
But that's why you pay for that, because it's doing a lot of intelligent.
You can do prioritization for free without a subscription on the Google Wi-Fi.
Okay.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
And Kevin prioritized, I don't know, something.
Nice. But you have to do that manually.
You have to go into the app to do it, right. But you could just always prioritize like your work computer right. if you wanted to. Right.
The promise of the Eero is it'll notice what's going on. The problem people have with that is it's sending information back to Amazon all the time about your devices, what how you're using them, what you're doing. And so there's some issues there.
So Google, and Kevin writes about that, which you know I make him do because we talk so much about this sure. in consent, is if you to get some of these features, like the family features and device prioritization, you do have to share your mm-hmm. network data with Google because mm-hmm. that's how it's going to figure out what to prioritize. You have to use their Nest Wi-Fi cloud service.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And that is on by default. So if you don't want to share that, you need to turn that off manually.
But you'll probably lose some features.
Yes. But if you don't care about those features, like if you don't right. have kids.
Right. Mr. Jeff, thank you, Stacy. So good to have you back. Thank you. Mr. Jeff Jarvis.
It is indeed.
What's your number?
I want to mention a few things real quick. Jack Dorsey held on to his stock.
Sort of.
Because
it's not Twitter stock anymore, right? He had $1 billion in Twitter stock.
He rolled it over.
So what he did is he rolled it over.
Worth $1 billion now.
Oops. I would have taken the cash. 18 million shares. 18 million times 5420. That's a lot of money.
It's $1 billion. He saved Elon having to pay him $1 billion. That was one mention.
That's his, in a way, that's him saying, I believe in what Elon's about to do. And I think this will be worth more because I'm keeping my chips on the table.
Yep. Mastodon, we've talked about it an awful lot. Mastodon has a Patreon. They're adding servers on. It's volunteers. It's folks. They're hiring people. So if you go to patreon.com/mastodon, I'm about to do the $10 a month.
Let me be clear about this, though. You're supporting Eugene.
Eugene's.
And you're not supporting your instance. Every instance may have its own. We don't ask for any money on twit.social, but many other servers need your support. It's now more
this
than ever.
This is why I have this in here before I asked you. Yes, okay.
Now so, more than ever because suddenly there goes an onslaught. You had a number earlier that, what was it?
70,000. Like, Eugene had 70,000 in one day.
New users.
After his purchase.
Yeah.
New
so users. You can imagine, we haven't been crushed on our server, but you can imagine some of these big servers like Mastodon Social, which is, I think Eugene's is.
Yes.
Because everybody
that's
joins
what I'm
it.
On. That's
so
what I'm on.
This Patreon is for the software. For Eugene, not for
Eugene, which I want to support Eugene. Yeah. I'd love to have Eugene on the show, by the way.
Okay, so we'll try to get him.
All right. So then the thing I wanted to show you today, I just came across. Ant, I was in Mastodon. Instead of doing Twitter during the show, I was doing Mastodon.
Oh,
during the
I
show.
Like you. Look Thank you. You. Look
at and you. Peter Rojas pointed me to this great thing called Infinite Conversation.
Yeah.
This is an AI experiment. Finding an AI version of Werner Herzog and the philosopher Slavoj Žižek having a conversation with voices, if you would go there.
See, this is why I think your Mastodon's better than mine. I have a snake riding a bicycle on my on my Mastodon. I feel like your
it's
Mastodon,
who you know, fella,
it's better than. I'm going to follow. How do I follow the people you're following? That's what
you can
I
go
want.
To me and see who I follow. Yes,
I can.
Do that.
I might do that.
Yes.
All right, let me find that link.
All right, so go to Infinite. It's right there. It's in the rundown.
InfiniteConversation.com.
Yeah, just for a minute or so. It's too much fun.
What is this?
So this is.
Oh, it's an AI.
Herzog. It's an AI pretending to be Werner Herzog and Slavoj Žižek.
Speaking of entertaining, have you seen any good movie lately?
That's Werner.
No, I haven't been to the cinema in a very long time.
Well, maybe that's Werner.
Yes, I saw one film by a friend of mine. He's a well-known Hungarian filmmaker, Ferenc Wrobozov. He made a movie about Franz Werfel.
I watch a lot of American cinema.
Who is
my
who?
My theory of this is that you can enjoy cinema without its ideological.
The second guy was Werner, so not the second.
Yeah, he has the color change.
He has a deeper voice.
I didn't see the film, but it sounds like a great scene. I have seen The Wild Bunch on video, and there are some very beautiful scenes in it.
But how do you react to the dominance of Hollywood movies? Do you think it's on the wane or no?
No, I think it will always dominate.
Oh my God,
the
this is like my dinner with Andre, recreated by an AI.
I love it. I absolutely love it. It's all made up. I would love to see them watching. I don't know if they're both alive, right? I'd love to see them both watching this, and it'd be just hilarious.
I feel like
that
we
might
could
be the most
AI
elitist thing I have ever seen.
It is. It is. It's just great.
But somebody, if you really wanted to go down market, could do Leo and Jeff.
Exactly.
I think that would be. I want to. How can we?
We want this.
We may never have to make a show again.
Oh my God.
It's not a democracy. Moral panic. It's not a democracy.
Yeah.
If Ant and I had to sit through the two of that, y'all doing that, I think it would be like our version of hell.
Yeah, the reaction shots to you two would be worth it.
Are Hollywood films still our dreams, or do we have different dreams nowadays?
Of course, if you have $1 billion and can finance new digital technologies, then through special effects, you have so many ways to make films that are interesting.
I don't think so.
Of course.
It is a strange but fascinating
Leo's
phenomenon.
Fast forward, folks.
Absolutely. Yes.
It's much better if you fast forward, I might add.
It is. It is. Oh. It is. It's hilarious, isn't it?
That's
Thank
how
you,
I,
Peter
by
Ross.
By the way, that's how I run the show. You get one sentence and I'm cutting you off. No, nobody ever called me a good listener. Anything else? That's good. I love this infinite conversation. Thank you, Peter
Ross.
That
was great. That came out of
y'all. My Dinner with Andre has a 92% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh yeah, it's one of the greatest movies ever made.
Yeah, it is.
Mm. You don't like My Dinner with Andre?
Okay, to be fair, I did first see it in my English class
at the age of
16, and I was like, I want
torture.
To die.
What did you do to that teacher to make the teacher show you that at that age? Yes.
Oh,
we
yeah,
should also mention, by the way, so you think everything in the world's going behind a paywall and Business Insider got bought by Axel Springer in Germany, which believes like Murdoch religiously in paywalls, and they put up paywalls all over.
I can't go in Business Insider anymore.
Guess what? They're moving half of it back outside the paywall.
You know why? I stopped doing stories from Business Insider because I can't. Yeah. It's such a strict paywall. You don't get one article. You don't get anything. You don't get a quarter of the article. You get nothing. And it's frustrating as heck. I stopped going to that site. Too late, Axel.
Yeah.
Is Axel a person? Yeah.
Axel was a person, yes. He was a conservative who built his headquarters ass on to the Berlin Wall to say, to the communists.
Oh, that's hysterical. Ant Pruitt, your thing.
My thing of the week, pick of the week, is the folks at Wacom announced a new Cintiq Pro 27.
Oh, 27 inches?
This is something definitely for the illustrators and designers out there. I wouldn't necessarily need it for photo editing, but I do like using a Cintiq.
It lets you draw directly on the thing, so your monitor is also a trackpad, so...
That's cool.
Put smaller bezels on it, so it has a smaller footprint than the previous models. And, of course, they give you more points of pressure with the stylus and so forth. Nice. HDR screen. It's freaking beautiful.
Is this better, though, than something like the Microsoft Studio
The studio that I was using, that you used to have, it was nice, but it was nowhere near.
It wasn't as good as a Cintiq.
It was nowhere near as responsive as a Wacom.
Okay. A lot of them use Wacom digitizers, but I think probably Wacom saves the best stuff for their own.
Yeah, they put the secret sauce in for theirs. Yeah.
Cintiq is the state of the art. It's only $3,500 yet.
$3,500. And I will say this, I've actually reviewed another Cintiq competitor before here on the network. So Wacom, they better get to work because people are starting to catch up.
What does Burt Monroy use? I know he uses Wacom tablets. I bet he uses a Cintiq.
It's probably a Cintiq.
Yeah.
It's probably a Cintiq.
The legend, very cool.
Mr. Burt Monroy.
Oh, I love Burt.
And my other pick is Daniel Suarez. I got a notification about this because I didn't know. Apparently Daniel Suarez has another book.
Time to call him up. Time to get a triangulation on here.
There you go.
We've interviewed him about pretty much every book he's done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, this is the sequel to Delta V? We love Delta V, didn't we, John?
Yeah, I like Delta V. Demon and Freedom is still my favorite.
Amazing books. Yeah. Amazing. So this is a pre-order. It's not going to be out till January 24th.
So I didn't share that. Wasn't really expecting that notification last night.
That's awesome. Okay. And we will get in touch with Daniel and have him on. Let's have him on to be a, you know what? He could be part of that new thing we're doing start of the year. He could be our first.
Do Stacy's Book Club?
It could be a Stacy's Book Club, too.
Oh, we could do that, too.
Would you like to have an author on with you, Stacy? I think that'd be cool.
It would be cool, but it would also change, like, the nature of the
book. Yeah, because you wouldn't want to
totally
be mean.
I'm totally down for that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I would still be mean because
I'm going to be mean
I'm
about this silly book that we're reading right now, A Long Way to a Strange, Angry, Boring Planet.
I knew this would be controversial.
Love that.
Are you coming tomorrow?
No way.
I will, just to support you. I wasn't going to because I haven't finished it yet. I shouldn't because I haven't finished. I can't finish it. I'm trying.
Yeah, you don't have to.
It's just not
interested. It is a very different. I get you.
Yeah.
I get
very
you.
Different.
It feels like almost like a young adult. It's too cozy for me.
It is very cozy. I'm with you. Yeah. Well, okay. We can. Are you plugging in the book club? Plug the book club.
Yeah. 9 a.m. tomorrow.
9 a.m. tomorrow.
The new time for the book club. If you're a Club Twit member now, I got to say, you got to be a member. This is one more reason. You got to join Club Twit, my friends. It's the best little club in the world. $7 a month gets you access to our Discord, gets you special shows that we don't put out in public, like Stacy's Book Club. You're going to do an AMA with Jonathan Bennett later this month.
Bennett.
Yay.
Yep,
he hosts our Untitled Linux show. He's great. And Floss Weekly.
Mm-hmm.
Hands on Mac with Micah. Hands on Windows with Paul. I mean, it's just a great place, plus special content. But tomorrow.
A special group of people.
Yeah. I love the people.
That's the whole point.
I really love the people. It really is the whole point, isn't it?
Discord gets a lot of love.
Yeah, it's not just the host, it's everybody. It's really great. The book club tomorrow, 9 a.m. Pacific, The Long Way to a Small Angry Planet. Honestly, if you started it right now, you'd probably finish it in time for the club.
Yeah, you probably could.
Yeah.
That's
you
no
slowed. You had to slow down because you were going to finish it.
I'm now like on my third time reading it, sir. Well,
good Lord.
Via the audio book.
You really liked it, huh?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
It's very cozy. You like cozy?
I guess.
Yeah. It's the cozy season. I'm reading that in my cozy mysteries, and it's awesome.
What's a cozy mystery?
Oh, it's like when
somebody
like,
not
the dead
get
body's
murdered?
Not
they
gory.
Just get
no, you get no, you get murdered in like a small British town. But it's like those like corgi mysteries. I mean, there's a lot of them, but the focus
corgi
is not
mysteries?
On the body. Yes,
corgi
there's a whole
mysteries?
Set of just okay, just. The dogs don't die. I'm just going to tell you.
Where's
Biscuit? Like,
do they solve the crimes, the corgis?
Murder, She Wrote is the epitome of a cozy.
Yeah, that's cozy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There you go. I knew it. And we can honor the
greatest. Wait, why are the corgis in the mysteries? What?
Because they have corgis.
Because you have
to.
If you're
going
to do.
They're
integral to solving the crimes.
Bloodhound corgis?
When you have a cozy. You have to have a gimmick so the corgis are the gimmick in.
That explains it. Okay.
The cozy mysteries to get you.
My old friend Rita Mae Brown, I think, has cats that solve mysteries.
Wait a minute. You're friends with Rita Mae Brown?
I was years ago. I haven't talked to Rita in years. She's amazing.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
When I was in San Francisco.
Yeah. Name dropper.
Yeah. Well, that's a good name to drop.
That is.
Put that on this label too.
Yeah. All right. So Daniel, we gotta get to. So I gotta get this checklist. Wait a minute. You know what
Daniel
you need?
Summers.
It's not. You know my favorite podcasts are not quirky podcasts.
There's security podcasts.
There we go.
Oh,
got the security guard there.
Hello,
She's
little
our new
fluff
security
one.
Security guard Lily. And man, you better not. I'm just saying. You better not. Does Burke bathe her in perfume?
She's such a nice dog.
She smells really good. Yes, you're a baby.
Yes, a sweetie. Yeah, what a sweetheart.
Burke does not.
She doesn't taste really good, though.
How's the breath?
Breath's not bad. What else you got? What else you got for us, Ann? Oh, a family bragging moment.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to brag on my family because, you know, that's what I always do
of course.
On the show as part of my picks.
Yes.
3 weeks ago, we had a serious injury. Our quarterback was hurt. And it shook us up a good bit. And my son, the hard head, he felt pretty bad. And, you know, because now he's got to step in as the backup quarterback.
Oh, he's the QB now. You know,
yeah.
Oh.
So they had to pull him off of defense to put him on offense. And, you know, we took it pretty hard because it was his friend. And, you know, we don't know if his friend
How serious was back. The injury?
We don't know if he'll be back. That's about all I'll say.
Oh, no.
So we played the first week and he did okay, but we lost. And then last week, 2 weeks ago, I should say, we played Cardinal Newman at their place.
Oh, this is a tough
27 years.
This is a North Bay football power, Cardinal Newman.
Yes. That's
I remember
correct.
Us talking about them last year.
Yeah. We Joe Montana's son used to be place. Their quarterback. Let's put it that way. These
we beat
scary.
Them at our place last year.
Yeah.
And then last week, we beat them there for the first time, and that's Hardhead going 80 yards.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Look at him.
27 years. And so he's quite proud and pumped up. And then our last game great. Last week when we were off, he
game over.
Off again.
Game
so
over, man.
He had four over. Touchdowns last week, 179 yards rushing. And the week before against Cardinal Newman, he had 122 yards rushing and two touchdowns.
Way to
and
go, just, number four.
The whole squad is just –
Do you think he might play football in college?
I told him it's his best bet to be a two-sporter, do college and track, because he wants to run track. He wants to be an Oregon Duck.
You could see on that 80-yard run, he could run.
He wants to be an Oregon Duck, but in all honesty, he doesn't have Oregon Duck sprint speed just yet, but he could still, you know, walk on and still play
football.
Is
that you hugging him here in the Press Democrat?
Yes, and I want to give a shout-out to the Press Democrat because cameras are usually, I guess they're always watching, and they caught the two of us.
That's a father who loves his son. And is strong enough to pick him up, apparently.
Yeah, I was about to say.
And that's the thing. I had to let him know, look, I could still toss your little ass around if I need to.
Oh, and I'm so happy for you. Wow.
We are quite proud. Quite proud. Wow. We got the final game of the regular season is Friday, and then we're on to the playoffs.
If you want to see the highlight reel, Ant's put something together on his Instagram, @_Pruitt, and you can see that incredible run, the game. Very nice highlight reel you put together. That's cool.
Thank you.
Very cool.
And even little Stephanie, she got to play last week. There's a girl on the offensive line she plays.
Wait a minute.
She plays right guard. She plays right guard.
Oh, my God.
And she got to play last week.
Good. That's awesome. Yay.
She's played a couple times this year.
She covers the blind side, baby.
Yeah, she don't mess around.
No.
I freaking love that.
That's that is wonderful the school lets her do that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, I love it.
Rancho Cotati.
Yep, yep.
Create and dominate. No, that's not their motto. That's Ant Pruitt's. You'll find him on Hands-On Photography, twit.tv/hop. You've got some great photographers on that show. Who's this week?
Well, this week we're doing some feedback. We're going to take a look at some old photographs and talk about photo restoration. You know, because it seems like that's like a popular topic nowadays. I guess people are trying to do something for holiday gifts or what have you, because I got a bunch of questions about it. And everybody just sort of assumes it's just like a, you know, 5-minute thing, and I have to tell them, no. It's some work when it comes to restoring a photo. So I'm going to walk folks through restoring a photo and checking out some AI and services.
A lot of fun. Twit.tv/hop. Mr. Jeff Jarvis, ladies and gentlemen, I give you the director of the Town Heights Center for Entrepreneurial Journalism at the Craig Newmark Graduate School of Journalism at the City University of New York. Frank Sinatra called him a bum. And what was what's the new one we added?
Oh, what was it?
your new friend.
So many special
so many tributes.
I can't even.
Oh, blocked by Pierce.
Blocked by Piers Morgan.
Blocked by Piers Morgan. That was it. Yes. And Donald Trump Jr.
And Donald Trump
and
Jr.
DJ. Oh. Very proud
DJ
of that.
DJ TJ. Thank you, Stacy, for coming back to us. I'm sorry you have to leave again. You're going somewhere again, but that's all right.
Jeez.
Oh, I'm going to see robots.
It can only take so much of us.
It's travels back.
No,
baby.
No, this is her livelihood. We, you know, I can't blame her.
This is how I pay for all those waffles.
Yeah.
Done.
But so you will be back. All kinds of people. Sorry. I got all kinds of people following me from the Twit server on Mastodon.
Oh, good.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, good. Twit.social, our Twit forums, or Twit.community.
I'll hang out in there a little more, folks.
Either way, the community is a great place. Both of these are free. The only thing you should know about is I have to approve you. Because you saw me doing that, because I don't want to...
Value added.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know
I
spent
some
time
keeping an eye on this server, so I think it's a pretty good place to hang. It's slow. It's not Twitter. But it's great. It's great. I'm very... we'll see what happens. I'm not leaving Twitter either, as you are.
No.
Not at all.
Sure. We're going to fight.
Stacy is at stacyonIoT.com. That's her website. She does the IoT podcast with Kevin Toefel. Thank you for being here. Sunday, we've got a very special Twit on Sunday. Christina Warren's in town. She's doing an event with GitHub, so she's going to come in studio. And then I thought, well, if we've got Christina, we should recreate her show on Relay.fm. It's called Rocket. So joining us will be Christina Warren, Simone de Rochefort, and Brianna Wu. It's Rocket. It's a collab Rocket with Twit. It's going to be interesting. Let's just put it that way. I can't wait.
Fun.
That's this Sunday on This Week in Tech. All I could say is thank you all for being here. We do the show every Wednesday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. We are on Sunday going back to standard time, which means we will no longer be at 2100 UTC. We will be at 2200 UTC. UTC doesn't change, but we do.
And whatever that means.
If you don't know, then it doesn't matter. And if you do
Thank
know...
Thank goodness the phones work.
The phone will tell you. 2200 UTC, live.twit.tv, audio and video, chat at irc.twit.tv or on our Discord. If you can't figure out what time we're on, that's fine because we are a podcast, so you can download it and listen at your convenience whenever you want. Copies of the show are available at twit.tv/twig. There's a This Week in Google YouTube channel, of course. And the best thing to do would be subscribe in your favorite podcast player, and that way you'll get it automatically the minute it's available. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Thank you, Stacy, Ant, Jeff. We'll see you next time on Twig. Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir.
Don't miss All About Android every week. We talk about the latest news, hardware, apps, and now all the developer-y goodness happening in the Android ecosystem. I'm Jason Howell, also joined by Ron Richards, Florence Ion, and our newest co-host on the panel, Wen Tu Dao, who brings her developer chops. Really great stuff. We also invite people from all over the Android ecosystem to talk about this mobile platform we love so much. Join us every Tuesday, All About Android, on twit.tv.